This is the MLWRadio.com Network.
And welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. If you're wondering how I can always remember that fast, I have written that down in a document so that I don't forget the words, because that used to happen to me, that I sit here and want to do the show, want to start the show, and then I randomly forget one of the words that I always put into my opening sequence of the show. Pulling back the curtain very much here, so I'm your host, Striga, as always, joined by Dylan. Hi, Dylan, how are you doing?
Striga, it's yes. So good to be back. I missed you, man. I missed you revealing secrets to the show right now. You've broken kayfabe, you've stolen everything, but actually, I've
stolen! What did I steal?
You stole from yourself. You know, this can only happen in wrestling. You know what they say? You know what they say about stealing? You know, everyone steals everything?
Yes.
You've now broken new ground on this. You've stolen from yourself to write things down. You know, you don't memorize it. You need to have it written out so you get it right. But isn't it better? Because nobody would have known unless you had told them that. So now, because you've told them, you've become more honest almost. I feel like you're leading a better life now. Do you feel like, you know, you've become a better person throughout all of this?
At least a bit, I do.
I agree. I did the same thing for Lucha Talk. I used to write out the intro for that there to make sure I got it right on there. And Microman Fever, he would troll me if I got it wrong too. See, with you at least, I wouldn't even bring it up if you messed anything up. But I knew I had to be on my toes with my friends at Lucha Talk on there. So you know, with you, you're always welcome. You know, I like to think, you know, we talk about the show. We have a lot of opinions, Trigger. That's what this show's all about, letting our opinions fly out. Maybe have some analysis. I definitely enjoy that part.
Sometimes.
You know, especially the in-ring part. We, you know, sometimes we don't get as deep because it's probably not that interesting to most people. But still, I love all of wrestling. But there are times where we're right and we can go on and just brag about it. And maybe even annoy people with how much we brag about it. But there's also times where we get stuff wrong. And ooh. I like being right, and I like being wrong, because when I'm wrong, it gives me an opportunity to learn and grow. And isn't that what life's all about, Strick?
It really is. It really, really is. That's a great talking point on your part. And I think that's really true for one of the shows that we're going to talk about here in a bit. But before we go there, Dylan, I also want to want to take the opportunity to mention a show that both you and I have been on. You actually twice, me one time now. And it is also a show that is about learning about great matches, and sometimes not great matches, but must-see matches, because it's the must-see matches part. You've been on there for Yuki Ishikawa and Daisuke Ikeda, I think, and for Kenta and Marufuji, right?
Yeah, the latest one. I literally was on just a couple, like an episode or two ago. I think they had to just go between ours, but yeah, it was Kenta and Marufuji. If you don't know the backstory, that's like my first match I ever saw from Japan. So it was kind of an emotional roller coaster going through that, but I watch it every year anyway. And then, that was a great show. A lot of people had some positive feedback on my show. And then they told me you were going to come on too. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like when they told me, you know, because I was like, oh, that's great. Like, Striga's going to come on. What will he do? And what did you do?
What I did was I looked back at the Okada and Tanahashi match from 2016. And whereas most of the guests on the show, I think all of the guests so far, nominated their matches, I did not. I did not take part in the list at the point in time when Mark actually made it, because I was really heavy on work and I didn't really concentrate on anything except for that. So I didn't turn in a list, but Mark, as nice as he is, he sent me a list of matches that he still searched people for. And so I chose the Tanahashi and Okada match because, like, not because I wanted to watch that specific match, but I figured it would be a great opportunity to watch all of the matches up until that point back. So I started and watched their first match actually in 2010 when Okada was still a rookie, and that match really doesn't count within their rivalry. And I watched all of the matches starting in 2012, 13, 14, 15, up until that point then. So it gave me a great, like, bigger view on this, the bigger picture view on this entire rivalry that Okada and Tanahashi had. And I had a great time going back in history, didn't I?
Yeah, you know, I really think, you know, my episode, like I said, it got very emotional. And yours, you know, you did, you know, and I try to give some backstory and stuff too. Even like the Yuki Ishikawa and Ikeda episode, I gave some very interesting backstory on Battle Arts. If you're interested in that, I do have the distinction on that one. I have to say that they told me that that match was the least attended match on the entire list, the smallest match. So that's what I'm all about, baby. But your list is, or your show is really cool because, man, I remember, you know, you going through all of those matches, and I'm thinking over them all now. They've had so many, like, over that time. And that rivalry was so important to so many people. Like, much like Kenta and Marufuji was for me, I think a lot of people jumped on around the time of that, Tanahashi and Okada feud. So I remember when we first started this show, I mean, you were, for a long time, this is, you talk about revealing secrets, your profile picture was the wrist clutch between Okada and Tanahashi.
It is exactly that match.
Yeah. See, so that was when that was such a big deal. But I know over the years, like I said, you in New Japan, you've kind of had I don't want to say a falling out, but maybe, you know, the passion's not where it was back then for New Japan specifically.
Look, you know, at the end this of the is a day. Big weekend of matches, big match Sunday, I'd like to call it. We're talking about a lot of promotions here on this show. New Japan is not going to be one of them.
Yeah, exactly. And they didn't have a world title match, so they're out. I'll do a show on Patreon about that, though. So if anybody wants to know about that, when I get around to watching it.
I don't mean to put down New Japan. I've just not been able to watch the show yet. So because, to be quite honest, okay, I mean, I don't mean to put down New Japan, but I am kind of doing now because all the other stuff was more important to me, to be quite honest.
Yes, and I not just you. I think a lot of people feel that way, even people that really got on board New Japan through that rivalry. Like I said, Okada and Tanahashi. I think probably it's not just you. I think many people feel that way. So to kind of go back and revisit the golden era for a lot of fans, you know, and who's to say, you know, because if you're maybe an old timer like in Japan, maybe you like stuff from the 80s or the 90s more. But for a lot of people, this is their golden era for Okada and Tanahashi. So to go back to there, I'm sure that was a real treat for you. And I can't wait to listen to that episode. It just dropped. I just saw it, like, drop yesterday on there. I know you recorded it earlier in the week. So I will listen to that, Strick. I always support you and your ventures.
I will eventually get to your episodes, but I just started listening to the series and some of the early shows that they put on. So really want to put over this show a great project that Mark has started, and also want to point out that Kieran is a great host for the show. So Must See Matches Pod, you can find it anywhere on your podcatchers and also, of course, on Twitter. And as you said, Dylan, golden eras in Japanese wrestling. We are right around the time here in late September that Japan actually had what's called a silver week, because remember last time we did a show on September 19, there was the Respect for the Elder Day, the Senior Citizens Day, and I think there is another long weekend this weekend, actually. I'm not entirely sure if there still is a public holiday or if this just is counted into the Silver Week this past weekend, but definitely from Friday to today, there were a lot of big matches in Japan, big world title matches. But before we go to this weekend, we have to go back to last weekend, to September 18, September 19. First and foremost, of course, All Japan Pro Wrestling's Budokan show and their follow-up on the next day, their Kurken Hall show. And on the topic of being wrong, Dylan, I was very wrong because I really did not expect All Japan to do that well in Budokan. When the first pictures came out on last Sunday, I was really shocked, I would say, because of how empty Budokan looked. But I learned that people were still getting into the venue as the show had already started, as the first matches already started. And by the time that the undercard was going on, the arena filled out very nicely, at least the most of the seats did. There were some empty seats in front row, but most of the floor seats have been sold. So overall, I guess we can say this was a great success for All Japan Pro Wrestling because of the visual. What still remains to be seen, if we get some information, if we ever get some information about that, is how many tickets they actually sold. Because up until the day of the show, there were still front row seats and basically seats in all categories available. But apparently they sold a lot of the cheaper seats. So people came in basically in the same mindset as you and I were. This isn't the greatest show, but it's Budokan, so let's do it. So that was apparently the thought that a lot of people had. But definitely, from the visual we got, this was a success for All Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, so first of all, first and foremost, the absolute top point of this whole show, in my opinion, is what a coincidence that All Japan announces the greatest musical act in the world, Shingeki, to perform on their undercard, and suddenly they sell out, which... By the way, Shingeki, they had their first ever, much like All Japan, no one ever thought they would make it to Budokan, and then they did it earlier this year, and then they suddenly came back twice for this All Japan show, and I was looking at at the time of the show, because of all the controversy surrounding their airing schedule that we'll get into for the show, but I was looking at a lot of the Japanese tweets going in there, and Shingeki, anytime they were mentioned, were always replying, like the members of the group, so they were very hardworking on this show, and it felt like they were very popular. Unfortunately, they did not make it to the VOD, their performance, which I'm sure was very spectacular, such a unique musical style with everything they have going on there. But in terms of the ticket sales overall, it's been speculated, because I had heard going into the show, like you said, you know, you can just see it when you look at the ticket sales themselves, that things were not going great for the show overall. And then suddenly you have this huge number. And like you said, ultimately, first and foremost, you know, I think we have to say that this was overall success, however they did it, just from the visual aspects, whatever. A lot of people have said that perhaps there were some sponsor, you know, some kind of sponsor things going there, maybe sponsors buying some tickets late and making sure that this number comes in all right. But at the end of the day, a number this huge, you know, whether it's legitimate, whatever you want to say about it, you know, you have to consider it a success overall. And like, it's very unlikely considering, I mean, like I said, it really hurt me as a fan watching this show, considering how it played out in terms of the airing schedule. And like I said, we really weren't that into it anyway. But just as a fan, it really hurt the schedule of it. But in terms of a business decision, it's very hard for me to believe that they lost money on this show. And in fact, exactly. Yeah. See, so they really pulled it off with the NTV deal, getting that extra money coming in for sure. That
was it actually the first time that they've been on NTV since the Noah split?
Yeah, because remember they had that show called Coliseo for Noah at the time that went over. And remember there was that controversy around, remember when they started All Japan TV, that they couldn't show like the classic stuff because the TV network owned it. So yeah, like this had to be one of the first times.
I wasn't able to verify. I looked at the Japanese Wikipedia for Nippon TV and for All Japan, but I couldn't find out if there was an airing in the last 20 years, but I mean, I've been following All Japan for the last close to 20 years, so I can't remember that they've ever been on NTV since the Noah split.
At best, it's a very rare occurrence. You know, like I said, you know, it's very likely that what you said is the accurate statement. But you know, even if they have had something here and there, it's been a long time since they've been on NTV. I think we can all safely say. So you know, that money coming in was a big deal for sure. And it was a great win for the company and the fans at the end of the day, despite everything. You know, you have to really give them praise for that. But I think we have to give the props to Shingeki overall. This is the most important
Absolutely. Thing. Yes. And also, Dylan, let's give the props to What's Your Status, Dylan?
See, speaking of sponsors, maybe coincidentally, yes, because if you watch the show, yes, there was lots of status going on there.
They filmed this in a tiny building, could have been Shinkiba first ring, dark building with Zuwama in the ring. I think Ishikawa was there too. And they filmed this commercial for this booking agency, basically, that's called Status. And it played every 5 to 10 minutes on the Nippon TV airing. It was really annoying at the one point. But yeah, the Nippon TV airing, they've done that very smartly, because basically the first 2 hours of the show did not make air until September 22. But the second half, starting with the All Japan 50th anniversary six-man tag match, started the NTV airing, and they picked up, I think, a good chunk of listeners, viewers, not of listeners, that know All Japan from the glory days and know some of the names that were in this match with Onita, Fuchi, Koshinaka, Kojika, Masao Inoue, and Yoshiaki Yatsu. So they introduced them through this match to then go on to one of the more prominent matches on the show, which is the All Japan World Tag Team title match with two of the young stars rising here in Ryukyu Honda and Shotaro Ashino. And also people on NTV got to see Atsuki Aoyagi win the title. They got to see Naoya Nomura, and they got to see, of course, Kento Miyahara, their biggest star, win the Triple Crown. So promotionally, from the promotional side of things, this probably was a great success.
Yeah, they did a pretty decent number at Korakuen the next day, even though there was some bad weather in Japan with the typhoon coming in there.
Just over 900 fans. That's pretty solid for any Korakuen show these days.
Yeah. I think they might have done more if the weather was a little better, because I know it was a pretty bad typhoon going on there. But they were able to get through it.
Great. Canceled their shows. New Japan canceled their shows south in the country, in the Fukuoka and Okinawa region. They canceled all their shows because of the typhoon. So down south it was worse, but in Tokyo the weather was really bad too.
Yeah, so they overall, though, your point is right. I think there's no way you can point at this at anything except for a big success for the company overall, and just being on NTV itself has to be a big success. I think it might have been a little better if they were able to show the main event in full on the network. That would have been really good.
Yeah. So what happened if you've not followed that last weekend is they had a 2-hour slot on Nippon TV, and it actually started point at 7 p.m. in Japanese time with the memorial match. But then apparently their schedule got a little out of hand, which then resulted in them doing the Naoya Nomura versus Jake Lee match in 43 seconds. So even though it looks great for Naoya Nomura, I gotta think that they cut this match drastically to then be able to show at least most of the main event. They were able to show like 10 minutes of Zuwama and Miyahara. And then they showed this graphic on the screen where they said, please switch to BS142, a channel that apparently is not within the service that you can subscribe to for satellite TV. So people couldn't really see the match. But apparently the Japanese had no issue. They just switched the channel. But still, it is pretty rough from a promotional standpoint for your 50th anniversary to turn out like this. Like the half your show doesn't air live. The other one does, but not in full. That part of the show has to be considered a pretty big disaster.
Yeah, ultimately, the money was worth it. ultimately, like, that's what this was really all about, if you're going to be super realistic. And getting on NTV itself is a big deal. Like, at the end of the day, look, if this were the World Cup final, I think they would have found a way to not have to switch channels, or something like that. But when you're at the level of All Japan, like, just being on MTV is a huge boost to them. So, you know, it's not like it was a priority. I don't know anything about the TV stations in Japan or the networks or the ratings or anything like that. You know, you could go on – there's a million shows in America where you could talk about the ratings of Raw and AEW every week. But in Japan, I just don't know how prevalent all that stuff is or how it works. So I'm not sure if it was a disaster, if it was a big deal, if it was no big deal. I just know that on just in terms of aesthetics – I think, like I said, if it were something that was really important, I think that they would have been able to keep that on, you know, until the end, at the end of the day. And it shows you that All Japan is not quite there yet, you know, and obviously I think everybody knew that. Like I said, them getting on there is a huge win. It's just unfortunate because as a fan, again, that's really the biggest issue more than a business or anything like that. Just me as a fan, I made sure I didn't want to watch the NTV version because I knew that, you know, it would take away from my overall experience of why I could watch the full show at the end of the day. So I didn't watch the NTV version. I didn't try to do any crazy stuff to try and get this channel somehow or anything like that. I waited until it released in full. And, you know, it is what it is on that end. Just as a fan, it hurt more than I think business-wise. Because I think business-wise, this show has to be considered a big success. And right. they deserve a lot of credit, the promotional team. Because, like I said, if you're going to be realistic – All Japan's not exactly – they weren't lighting up the scoreboards in terms of attendances going into this tour.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination. So it shows you that this kind of came out of nowhere. But they had to work and do all kinds of things to make it happen, but they did it. And to me, that's worthy of praise for maybe not the booking, but definitely the promotional side, I think, did an amazing job for the show.
What was your favorite match on the show?
Yeah, see, the show itself was – here's the thing with this show. Like – I just think there was a big – it didn't feel like that amazing big show. Maybe it was the timing or anything like that. The main event also got cut pretty short, which I think actually was a good thing in my opinion. I would have rather them have done it like they did. Same thing with the semi-main. I think that this is better than whatever they had planned if they were going to do it. I don't need to see Jake Lee going 50-50 with Nomura. Just, you know, you're giving him the title shot. Put him over. Like, put him over strong. That's it. They did what they needed to do. Main event, you know Kento's going to win. Like, there's no drama involved in this match. So just go for it. And they cut through all the fat. They had a really strong performance, I thought. It wasn't a great match by any means, but it was a good one.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I didn't really like the main, got to say, especially because of what you just said. The outcome was clear. We've seen the match before. We know that what they do. They went through what they usually do, and that was basically it. I mean, the match has a rating of 7.25 on Cage Match. I would probably even go below that.
Yeah, but in my opinion, their normal match is twice as long and twice as boring. So
great point, actually.
Yeah. See, so like, I don't think they needed more time. Like, I think like this main event.
Needed more time. They should have done a different match. That's basically what I'm saying.
To do that, you need different people in the main event. Which they
all. I know.
Yeah, because we talked about it on the show. Like, to me, this was literally a 0 out of 10 in terms of interest. Like, this main event, they couldn't have put on any match like that would have had me less interested than these two wrestling each other. Just because, like I said, you know, no drama. We've seen them wrestle a million times. You know, it wasn't that great. To me, the best match, you know, I thought that the tag match was really good, honestly. I love GOA, the Gungnir of...
I was just going to ask, what tag match? Because, of course, we had also had the great moment of Dan Tamura finally winning his first championship, when he and Hikaru Sato defeated the Voodoo Murders of Minoru and Toshitsu. Thought that match was pretty all right, but I agree with you that the World Tag Team title match, both from the in-ring and from the presentation of it all, was probably the best of the show.
Yeah, like to me, that All-Asia match was, you know, it's just, what can you do with the Voodoo Murder stuff? You know, at the end of the day, you know, so it's really tough. And even then, I think that could have been like a fiery type of match that at least showed. Because remember at the start of this whole feud when Nagata was really facing Voodoo Murders and Tamura was there, they beat him down. He had all those scars on his back, remember, in that match? And like, I think that you could have had, if they had built this properly, like an amazing climactic moment with him winning the titles finally and overcoming Voodoo Murders. But I don't think it really came across like that.
They could have done a gimmick match of sorts, but...
And so, it's another one where it's like you knew they were going to win. Like, there's no drama to this match at all. So yeah. I think that hurt it as well. I mean, it's cool that he got the title, but it just – with him, I always feel like there's something missing with him compared to some other people. Like, he's cool, but I can see why he's where he's at, honestly. He hasn't been able to overcome anything.
I see where you're coming from. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but the tag match was great. The world tag titles match was great. Like you said, the spectacle, Kawada and Taue coming out was really cool. You know, they had Kawada, Taue, Kobashi was in the main event, Stan Hansen. You know, they had all the legends. That was really cool. You know, but the tag match to me was my favorite. You know what I was really excited about too? I thought this guy, Anzai,
yeah.
You could tell he's going to be something.
Like, oh, he's good. He's really good.
Yeah, I thought this was like one of Nagata's best matches. I've seen it a while just with this guy. You know, it's like, okay, like you can see why they're so high on this brother, because you don't debut a guy versus a New Japan guy at Budokan unless you have big plans for him. And you can tell that, hey, this is a good guy to have big plans for, I think. They gave him his own theme song. He came out with the live entrance. I was like, man, this guy seems like one of your top stars already, like in his first match on here. Like, put the rockets, strap this boy up, baby, because like, this guy, Anzai, he can get it done in the ring. But, you know, a lot of matches are good. Like, seeing Aoyagi get the win over Daniels was cool. You know, Omori, I thought, did a good job in his match versus Suzuki. I thought that was a lot of
I was just going to say, I really liked Omori as well, because he... This was one of the more interesting matches on the card, I thought, because in recent months, we've seen a lot of these Minoru Suzuki matches on the indies, specifically in the US, too. And rarely have I seen a guy that was able to get as much of his stuff in with Minoru Suzuki as Hokuto Omori was, which, once again, told you that this guy is also someone that they are pushing in the next couple of months.
Yeah, and I think he's a good call. I think he's a good person. I've always been a fan of his. You know, in terms of him as a junior, I think that they're making a good move, moving him up to heavyweight. I think they just need more depth, you know, when it comes to the heavyweight division in general. And it feels like they're getting some guys. The Saito brothers came back, you know, big win for the Saitos, as predicted by yours truly. That Saito would win. The Saito brothers always need, as the number one Saito brothers respector, I had to ride with them. And they look really good. New look, new theme music again, very like cheesy, like 80s music.
These two guys, this is an amazing theme, Dylan.
Oh, yeah. It makes them stand out. Yeah. I'll give them that.
That's the entire point of these two guys. I've said it on my Twitter because Jay Freddy has been training them in the U.S. This is what everything about their training in the U.S. was probably about, was about what can we do to have these two guys just stand out, be themselves while improving. And look at them. They've got this new gear, this new shiny gear. They've got the new theme. They now have this, this new way. They found this new way of carrying themselves as proper stars. They have newfound energy. They have newfound confidence in themselves. Their movement is much better. So the Saito brothers, they are going to get the ball and run with it.
Yeah, you know, I really like – I've always liked them. I think they bring a unique style to the division. I know a lot of people weren't big fans of theirs early on, but I've always liked them because I think they bring something different stylistically to the division. And I think that now with this new characters they've brought to the table, new character work they've brought to the table, I think the sky's the limit for them as a team. So I really enjoyed all of that.
Let me get something in from the tag title match, because, of course, the Saito brothers challenged Honda and Ashino later. And they did the match the day after that. I really thought not only that Hokuto Omori looked strong, I also thought that Takao Omori looked really strong in the tag title match. They pretty much did what I said they would do, and it was the logical finish with Honda getting the pin over Omori after Omori had beaten him in the Royal Road tournament. But I also thought that Omori and Soya looked great as a tag team, as this one night return to get wild. They still had their wardrobe that they used to have during their get wild days. I wonder what the closets look like that they have at their homes, where they just align all their gear that they aren't using anymore, and they just figure, oh, I need this for this night. I haven't worn it since 2014, but it's still there.
And even some fake hair for Sawyer as well.
Yes.
You know, I like to think he bought that for a special occasion for this match here. Maybe. And he's not just lying around. But yeah, you know, I really like to. I always like Omori. I think actually in general for this year, every time you see Omori, he's done a good job. You know, for a veteran hand, I think he feels motivated. I really liked a lot of his work that he's done so far. So shout out to Omori. Huge fan of his. But you know, you said it was a logical finish. It was. Until he challenged for the title the day after him taking the fall might have been like
I basically took this as a thank you for putting on this great show in Budokan.
Yeah, like that's what the whole show felt like on me. It was like this was for, you know, they put over the veterans, you know, or not put them over, put them in big spots. Omori, Suwama. It's like that might not even be the best business move, but that was less of an importance than maybe giving thanks for these guys' work over the years. What do you think of the Aoyagi and Daniels match? And do you think that this is going to lead to anything in terms of Aoyagi and AEW?
No. I don't sense anything from this match, to be quite honest. This was as close to an indie match that you could put on because these guys don't have any history. They don't really have anything in common. They just had a match and wrestled. And that basically was it. There was nothing on the day after. Daniels was still there in Kurikan. He was there for this THQ thing, for this games convention there. So we basically could have looked out for that on Twitter, maybe, if we would have seen that. So we the discussion about him making it to Japan really wasn't leading to anything from our side. But
yeah, Omega
was there, so. Yeah, Omega was there too. So yes, the suspension didn't mean anything to that. No, I thought that the match was quite all right, but I don't sense that Yuma Aoyagi right now is a guy that would have any place in all elite wrestling. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it might be better for him to go there than where he's at right now, because it doesn't seem like he has a place in this company like either. He felt like he was the odd man out, you know, by the end of all of this. I mean, I'm happy he got the win. I thought it was a good match. I mean, especially for, you know, Daniels. I love Daniels, class guy,
yep.
Like, you know, great worker, history and all that, you know, great stuff. But he's 52 years old and not at his peak. For knowing that, and a guy he doesn't even wrestle that much anymore. He's more of an office guy at this point in AEW. You know, he does indie shots and stuff like that sometimes. But here, he did put over Aoyagi well. I thought that they did a good job. They tried to cause a little something early on where Daniels was like, I don't respect you, you gotta earn my respect.
Well, going back to his gimmick in Ring of Honor, where he didn't respect anyone, didn't shake hands, so classic Daniels.
And he did earn his respect at the end, so it's like they kind of used this. I mean, they didn't have a lot of time to do anything, you know. They had one match and that was it, basically. But it would be interesting, you know. I wonder what he's going to say. I think that Aoyagi wrestled as good as he could in the circumstances, but I wonder how the wrestlers felt about, like, hey, this show's airing on NTV, but not most of the card, just like just a few of these matches. I wonder if the undercard guys were a little bit. It was a gut punch, like. Ah, man, I wish I was on that TV airing, you know, and I don't know if that's true or not, but that's probably how I would feel if I were in UBI, especially him.
Especially him.
Yeah, because, like, he's the guy who should have been in the main event. Like, you know, if everything was right, this should have been his moment. Yeah. And I'm sure he probably felt that way when he won the carnival. He probably felt, hey, I've made it. Like, I've won the champion carnival. I feel like a superstar. The fans are treating me like a, you know, the next star. I'm ready. Everybody knows it. And then a few months later, it's like, hey, this mid-card match with Daniels, which, again, I thought was good enough, but definitely not anything that's, like, going to blow up the match of the year ratings or anything. There was nothing on the show like that, honestly, but,
no,
you know, it was what it was. The only other thing I will say about the show, and you can say your point is close out. They started off the show with a presentation of the Evolution, like this new Joshi group that Suwama's kind of involved with. They got a bunch of people here. It was five. There was Zones.
Sunny.
Yes. Yeah. Let's not let's give some Zones respect right now on here. But hey, we can't forget Sunny, Rin Hoshino, Otso Mizuhara, and Chi-Chi. Which I no relation to Goku's wife Chi Chi from Dragon Ball, at least to my knowledge. Maybe
you think okay.
Where's Goku at? Is all I'm asking. Have we seen these two? Have we seen her and Goku's Chi Chi in the same room? As all I'm saying right now. But
very good question.
Yes. So I think that's the questions we got to ask. But I mean, they just came out at the start. I mean, they put a pretty decent spotlight on. I'm like, hey, we're starting off the show with these girls, and. You know, I think it'll be interesting to see what they do. Obviously, it's very young in the history of the company and everything, but it seems like they're going to be doing some good stuff with that, and hopefully they're able to get off the ground at least.
That's an interesting project, and they seem to be fully behind that. So, yeah, it's going to be... We're going to have to wait and see where that eventually leads. It's definitely interesting that they are doing that around the same time that New Japan also adds women to... whatever they are doing with them to their cards. Maybe there's one match on the card once they have the IWGP Women's Championship. We'll see about that. But All Japan training 5 to 6 women is definitely something to look out for.
Well, technically, yeah. You say that this is like a not the same promotion. Like Evolution is a different promotion than All Japan. But I mean, you can connect the dots.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Pretty I much mean, so.
The only thing that Evolution still is doing is basically training these women. Except for that, Evolution is non-existent.
Yeah, but they're just using the name for the promotion. It's mm-hmm. not the same as the faction, because the yeah. faction is a convoluted mess of everything we've gone through many times. But yes, that the faction's over with. Now Evolution is reborn as a Joshi promotion, allegedly. But we can, like I said, we can connect the dots. Suwama and Ishikawa are heavily involved in it. I'm sure they'll have spots for them in future shows. And like I said, All Japan has had women's matches plenty of times before in the past, so it's not like this would be some unheard of thing to have women's matches on in All Japan if they wanted to do that. It'll be interesting if they're able to run their own shows, like the full branded Joshi shows. You know, they're off to the start at least. I just thought it was interesting that it seems like they want to put the best foot forward with it, with having them start off the VOD broadcast instead of Shingeki, who should have started it off.
Yes. I think that's all we can say about the show, really. Oh, I want to say that Atsuki Aoyagi now is the junior champion. He, in fact, defeated Tiger Mask. Big moment for him. The match itself felt really flat, to be quite honest. Tiger Mask wasn't the best guy to put in there. But that's the guy they got. That's the guy they chose. And so it's still, though, a good moment for Aoyagi.
Yeah, what you said was right. When you said it was flat. I think that... This whole reign was a big mistake, and yes. I think that, and even we saw it on the next night with Black Tiger. I mean, P.U.
I was really fearing, because they announced the Black Tiger versus Tiger Mask match the week before the Budokan show. So I was thinking, oh my god, does this mean that Tiger Mask is still going to be the junior champion going to Kurikun, and that Atsuki Aoyagi loses? But then I read the promo that... he said, not the promo, the interview with Tokyo Sports, where Aoyagi said that if he doesn't beat Tiger Mask, he doesn't have a place in All Japan anymore. And that basically told you everything he needed to know. And it happened that way. But yeah, that's Budokan. And the next night, they went to Kurikun Hall with the main event of Kento Miyahara versus Naoya Nomura, of course. But since you already brought it up, Dylan, the Tiger Mask and Black Tiger match felt like something that didn't belong anywhere on this
card. Amateur hour is what it felt like.
Best thing about it was that it actually embodied the Spider-Man points at Spider-Man meme, and that's as much as I can say about it.
Well, I mean, that's what I love about you, String. You're always trying to dig deep, get the silver lining. It's dark cloud that is the Tiger Mask All Japan raid. But hey, listen, we talked about it off the air. He was on the CMLO Grand Prix. He was one of the main guys on there in the thing. So he represented with the All Japan title in Mexico. You know, so he definitely was the champion. He wrestled matches, you know. There, you know, everybody got out okay. You know, everything was okay at the end. The matches were bad. This reign was very bad. Let's get the record straight. But he did wrestle matches. And I think that's all you can expect out of him.
That is a fact. I cannot deny that.
Hopefully at the end of all of this, I think the days of Tiger Mask in All Japan need to end. On all Tiger Mask, any version of a Tiger Mask, except for Tiger's Mask.
Yes.
If Izanagi wants to undergo another gimmick change, he is welcome to bring back the Tiger's Mask. That's what they should have done.
Doing the gimmick, but not in All Japan.
Yes, exactly. Like if they need to form a faction of all Tiger Mask in All Japan, but so that way Izanagi can actually work and these guys stay on the sidelines. I think that could be a good use of them in the future if they want to keep them around. But to me, yeah, I think it really took the edge off of the Atsuki big win. But hey, at least he got on the TV show, so you got to give him that much.
Yes. Big comeback, actually, for Koji Doi and Kuma Arashi. They defeated Black Mensore and Izanagi in under 3 minutes. Mensore and Izanagi, they are really getting beaten a lot in recent time. They got beaten by Cyrus the week before in 3 minutes. Now they've lost to Doi and Arashi in 3 minutes. That all then leads to October 2nd in Curriken Hall, where Koji Doi and Kuma Arashi will challenge Shutaro Ashino and Ryoko Honda for the World Tag Team title match. Honda and Ashino, of course, defeated the Saito brothers in a pretty good match in the semi-main of that show. I gotta say, I liked that match a lot because it showed that the Saito brothers have made progress, but Rei Saito was still too much of a rookie to really know what Shotaro Ashino was doing when he was applying the ankle hold, because it came out of nowhere for Rei Saito, whereas the trained eye could already see that Ashino was going for the ankle hold, so that was pretty good.
Yeah, and I love the champs. I think they're awesome and one of the highlights of the whole promotion. These two, they're like my MVPs. These two shows are Ashino and Honda. I love what they're doing. Even when they're teaming as the full faction with the juniors, which they set up an All-Asia tag match with the juniors as well going forward, I just think that they're awesome. Like, I love the shade spots, putting them in the ring where they all put them on at the same time and hit a drop kick. I am completely into all of this. Like, I think this is awesome.
Except for the name, this is a great group.
Yeah, the name is still goofy, but besides that, I love the group itself, though, and I hope that they... I think this is a great spot for them, too. Again, it feels like things have transferred, because for a while, Ashino was with Suwama, and it felt like it was all leading to Ashino getting put over. Now it feels like this group is really ultimately going to be about Honda in the end, and putting mm-hmm. him over and giving him spots to do, which... Great! Like Honda's awesome. Like, and super young. I like I said, he carries himself like a star despite any kind of age or anything like that. So I really like those two as a team. And the Saito brothers held themselves well. It wasn't like it's not like they rewrote the book on tag wrestling. It was like a 12-minute match or so, but they did a good job for what they had to do. And I think they will play a good role. It feels like the roster, that's the one good thing coming out of all of this in terms of performance and the company itself for me as a fan. I think that the roster now with these guys coming back, Anzai coming in, you know, they're doing some big things with some people. Kumadoi's back. It feels like the roster's got an injection of good talent to kind of add some depth to the promotion.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some more talent when you go over the October 2nd show in a bit. Two more talking points on that card I have. The Voodoo Murders got beaten by the Hontai team, Hokuto Omori, Jake Lee, Shuji Ishikawa, and Yuma Aoyagi. After that, there was a falling out between Suwama and Taru, which caused me to tweet that this Voodoo Murders thing really is the worst idea that they could have had, because they came into the company out of nowhere, and they immediately, from the get-go, started beating the core roster guys. And now, just a couple of months later, it seems like that they are out of the company once again with the falling out between Suwama and Taru. So I think this was a giant bust.
Well, I mean, it was destined to be that way, considering the talent.
Yes.
Everyone should have known better than to even do this.
Yes, but they did. And it doesn't make it like any better that we all knew it, though.
It makes it better that they're leaving. Hopefully, though. So
Well. There is a Suwama and Kono tag team match on the October 2nd show, Dylan.
Yeah.
They're still built as the Voodoo Murders.
Yeah, I'm sure they will, but it feels like they're already kind of ejecting Suwama from this angle, at least. So
I expect them to, those two, I expect them to be in the World Tag League, but with the beginning of the new year, I think there will be a new direction for Suwama.
Yeah, I didn't think they were just going to be like, well, Voodoo Murders are gone now. I didn't want to get my hopes up that high. But I do think, I mean, I remember I saw you talking to somebody on Twitter, forgive me who this was, but he was saying, like, you know, they should have just done this main event angle without all the Voodoo Murders crap. They could have easily said...
It was Irving from the old All Japan website on Perezo.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, that's right, that's right. Yeah, Irving. He was saying that, like, it had such an obvious build to the main event with the ace of the last generation, the ace of this generation going at it.
Yeah.
And it's like they instead threw all this Voodoo Murders crap involved into everything, and it was like, to what end? You know, what did they really accomplish?
Veteran versus youngsters is one of the easiest storylines you can go with, and especially when you have a show like this Budokan show where you just have no clue what to do, that's the easiest way to go at it.
Yeah, and we've talked about the booking of All Japan extensively on the last show, so I don't want to beat old territory into the ground, but I definitely think that it all could have come across a lot better, how they came across with all of this, but hopefully we can move on from this Budokan stuff. Hopefully they are able to set things right with the roster. I think they need to end this Voodoo Murder stuff pretty clearly. And hopefully, like I said, they've got some new talent, you know, they can, or people that they can at least put into different roles. Hopefully they keep getting that done, and hopefully we see some more stuff going forward for them. Because like I said, the shows didn't feel like a massive success in terms of just like critically acclaimed matches or anything like that. But in terms of, you know, hopefully they can use it to get some momentum going forward. Because at the end of the day, even if it all went wrong, they still were in the Budokan for the first time in 18 years.
Exactly.
And I think they could use that to slingshot forward going into the end of the year. And like you said, hopefully they build some good stuff for Tag League, at least.
Right. The main event, Dylan, of this show was between Kento Miyahara and Naoya Nomura, 20 minutes and 24 seconds, rated at 8.80 on Cage Match. And I really thought that this was a good title defense for Kento Miyahara. It probably suffered from the fact that, like the match the day before, there was no chance that Naoya Nomura was winning. Although, I was a proponent of that, because it would have been a great deal of moving forward with them showing that there is interest in the younger guys and that anything can happen in this company. But for the long run, Kento winning was probably the right decision. They did some callbacks to their great, great matches in 2019. If you have not seen those matches, they had one in March and one in September. Naoya Nomura and Kento Miyahara, those were the moments where we thought that Naoya Nomura would be the next big, big star of the company. But then, of course, his unfortunate injury happened. He left the company, but now is back. To what extent, we'll have to see. So they worked a lot around the maximum Naoya Nomura's Death Valley bomb. Kento Miyahara had to get his straitjacket German in. That was the finish of the last match they had in September 2019 too. So Naoya Nomura did as best as he could to avoid that because he knew it would be the end. But in the end, it was. So great callbacks. Good match here.
Yeah, it was good. It was just hard to get very into it just because, again, the scheduling, again, purely as a fan for me, made it a little bit more difficult to really get super interested in all of this. But this one I definitely think was the better of the two main events. Clearly. You know, Nomura comes in. I thought it would have been interesting. They built him up very well with the quick win. Again, that's what I'm saying. I think that actually worked out better than whatever they, you know, if they planned something else, I would have much rather done that because it made you believe, like, hey, maybe it's the Rocket's going to be on Nomura going forward. You can at least justify that with this match. But like you said, ultimately, like, no matter what would have happened, I'm vehemently anti this title match happening. Like, I hate the idea of your first Budokan show in 18 years, and one day later, you're also defending the title on there. Mm-hmm. It's like, I cannot reconcile that no matter what happened or what would have happened. I was already negative on that because of this. So I thought it was a really good match, but I didn't think that it was, you know, we're going to talk about another match on here that I thought was quite a bit better, in my opinion. You know, they had a good match, like you said. You know, Naoya's a really good talent. Who knows what the future holds for him in All Japan, what's going to happen. I do think that they must have some kind of plan for him to push him so hard with all of this, with the big win over Jake. You know, he likely would have been in the finals of the Royal Road tournament. And now this title match, you know, he was who they turned to. Whatever you want to say about what could have happened or what may have happened, he's who they turned to in all of this. So it feels like they must have some kind of plan for him going forward. But that's a logical thing to assume, and we see how sometimes logical assumptions may not get you too far with All Japan booking sometimes. But ultimately, you know, I didn't love these shows, again, in terms of matches, match quality, show quality, whatever. They were good. They were cool. You know, it was great to see them in Budokan. Like, the spectacle of it was nice, just in my mind. But ultimately, the shows have to be considered a success that they even happened and that things turned out how they did. So, like, again, hopefully they can use the momentum. But, like, so none of these matches are going to be striking my match of the year rankings or even just anything that I really thought was particularly great. Like, you know, even the big matches, the best matches they had, I thought was, like, really good, but they weren't anything that really touched me, so to speak.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And from there on, let's look at the next big card, Currican Hall, October 2nd. They have a full card listed already. We have a Gaora TV title match. That's the one championship that the Voodoo Murders still have, Dylan. Dan Tamura takes on Toshitsu, so we'll see double champion Dan Tamura. Good for him. Then we have the... Hokkaido Tourism Ambassador Showdown Special Singles Match between Black Mensore and Toru Yano.
I mean, listen, Hokkaido, it needs its representative strip.
Absolutely. And it has to be either Black Mensore or Toru Yano.
I mean, who will be able to claim this? A new gimmick for Yano to push forward, you know, going forward.
It actually is his gimmick for a couple of months now that he's always announced like that. But for Black Mensore, that's new to me. Tag match, Suwama and Kono. The Voodoo Murders against Jake Lee and Yuma Aoyagi. All Japan 50th anniversary special match in Kurikun. Kento Miyahara, Takoya Nomura, Ryo Inoue and Yuma Ansai. They take on Yuji Nagata, Yuto Nakashima, Roy Oiwa and Kosei Fujita. This is the match that I have underlined on this card because that can be one of those true interpromotional matches with a lot of fierce fighting behind it, because whenever the dojos clash, there's fire.
Yeah, you know, we hope that it's going to be a really exciting match. You know, these young guys are going to have a chance to do something a little different, wrestle people that they never had before. That's going to be a big moment for them. And like you said, hopefully there's going to be some fire in between them. And I think that's what we all want in any kind of young guy match. And definitely, like you said, two different companies facing off. It should be a lot of fun to watch.
Shuji Ishikawa, Takao Omori, Izanagi, and Hokuto Omori. Yoshitatsu take on Yoshitatsu Tajiri and the Saito brothers. Then we have the World Junior title match. Atsuki Aoyagi in his first defense against former partner Rising Hayato. Inbuilt storyline. Those two have very good chemistry. It's going to be a rivalry that will last for a long time. So good stuff. And main event, the former Total Eclipse members clash in Shotaro Ashino and Ryukyu Honda defending the World Tag Team title against Koji Doi and Kuma Arashi. Solid card. With a better build than Budokan, to be quite honest.
You know, they got through it. You know, they got through the Budokan, and now they can actually build stuff up better. Again, we hope.
We hope. Then another title match that they already announced is the Triple Crown match between Kento Miyahara and Takao Omori. That's taking part on October 22nd from Niigata in the Sanyo City Welfare Hall. Except for that singles match between Yoshitatsu and Suwama, scheduled for that show, for Yoshitatsu's 20th anniversary special match. And interesting here too, wow. Another 50th anniversary special six-man tag. Masanobu Fuchi, Atsushi Onita, and Yuma Anzai take on Jinsei Shinsaki, Masao Inoue, and Ryo Inoue. What a group of guys.
Only to get into a little bit of run here after Con here. So
yes. I see that he's also wrestling Andre the Giant Panda, so yeah. Good for him.
Still at it. Onita.
Yes. All right, Dylan. This is All Japan. One more big match from the past weekend before we go to this weekend. Dragon Gate had their Dangerous Gate show in Ota Ward, September 19. The decent-sized crowd of 1,700 and something fans, I think, in attendance. It was a good show overall. I enjoyed it, was entertained by it. But especially the main event, I thought, was a great, great match. I thought that Eita was a perfect antagonist for face champion Yuki Yoshioka to show that Yoshioka really is champion material, because that's what the entire storyline was all about. Remember in Kurken before that, Eita submitted Yuki Yoshioka and said that he can't be the champion if he submits, and Eita was going to take the title from him, and the entire match was built around that Eita was always one quick stepper than Yuki Yoshioka, but then Yoshioka had a great comeback and in the end won with his frog splash. So I think for both guys this was a great win, because Eita in Dragon Gate, he didn't really have any direction in the last couple of months. So this story came as a good opportunity for him to show that he still is a viable main event talent for the company. And for Yuki Yoshioka, it put him over in his now second defense as really the top guy in the promotion. And he said that he also wants to wrestle former Dream Gate champions in his title run. So this run really has a story going with it. So overall, again, good match. Great match, actually.
Yeah, I did a whole review of this show on Patreon, patreon.com/easternlariat, with my good friend Sondre Bjorn from Norway, the great country of Norway. The Norwegians, shout out out there. I love all the countries across Europe. But we had a lot of fun. It was great talking to him, first time ever. You know, he was actually a really good co-host. We had a lot of fun. We talked about the Akiyama anniversary show too, DDT. So we had a lot of fun stuff there. But he really got into this Dragon Gate show, and I was into it too. I liked the show actually. You know, you had the tag title change, which that was surprising. You had the brawl with Z-Bratz and Natural Vibes.
That was a crazy match.
Yeah, that was I thought really well done for what they wanted. A very fun, like you said, crazy match. I did the main event, which was like I thought that was the best match on the show. I know some people might have liked the tag match a little bit better, the tag titles match, and or the open the Twin Gate as they are known in Dragon Gate. But the Dream Gate match, it was very good. I really like Yoshioka a lot. I think he's excellent, and I thought that Eita brought one of his best performances in a long time here. And we were talking about it on the show that we think that he's a guy that has a great potential as a potential babyface in the future if and when he makes his return to the promotion.
Yeah.
I think that as a wrestler, I've always enjoyed him a little bit more than that. And so I would love to see them do something a little bit different with Eita going forward. But yeah, good show overall. I was actually, you know, Dragon Gate going into that show, I thought, you know, the Kobe World shows, they just weren't that great. Things felt like they were going a little slowly. People were leaving. You know, so some people leaving just to leave. People sometimes leaving to go on excursion to America or Mexico. But a lot was, you know, a lot of decks were getting shuffled in Dragon Gate. But after that show, I thought, okay, like we're moving forward. They've got something big planned for the end of the year. They're moving all, you know, boats ahead with this Z-Bratz and Natural Vibes feud. It feels like we're heading towards a good end of the year. But now, you know, my negativity and fears were kind of allayed a little bit with this show. So I liked the main event a lot. I thought that was a great match. And I like what they did overall on the show in general.
Yes, me too. You mentioned guys leaving the company. That was the next show they actually did after Dangerous Gate was a Storm Gate show from Kobe, where after the fourth match of the show, Naoki Doi and Ryo Saito, the GM of Dragon Gate, they were in the ring together, and it was announced that Naoki Doi is turning his contract into an exclusive freelancer contract. That is something that Minoru Suzuki has with companies that he is wrestling for, like now New Japan, before that with All Japan Pro Wrestling, that says basically that he is supposed to wrestle most of the dates for the company that he has the contract with, but he is allowed to take on any outside date that is not conflicting with the dates of the main company. So that appears to be something that Naoki Doi is doing. Now he is taking the month of October off to heal some injuries, to get in a healthier position. And then he'll return for Gate of Destiny on November 6th. Except for that, we don't really know what his plans are yet. You and I, we briefly discussed it off air, and we basically came to the conclusion there that in 2009, 2010, when Dragon Gate USA was a big deal, Naoki Doi could have been a big, big deal on the independents and for Ring of Honor and for other companies there. There is just the question what he still has to offer right now, given that he's also 20 years into his career. He's 41 and he has had his fair share of neck issues as well. And the second point is, how big of a deal? I can't really say that it's not, I don't mean to sell him short or anything, but how much of a big deal is he actually to wrestling fans outside of the Dragon Gate bubble? That's the question that I think is the most interesting here.
Yeah, you know, I think 10 years ago, I think he would have stayed in Japan. In all honesty, I mean, the indies, especially at that point, were kind of drying up. I mean, obviously not that much better than now, but still, I think he would have been a Japan guy. And I think he would have gotten a lot of interest. He would have been a guy your NOAHs, your New Japans would have taken a shot on, for sure, just to have. As I see, right now we're recording, it's in the middle of a football game.
Okay.
It was in the Saints. I just saw the quarterback for the Saints just go crazy on the sidelines for some reason. I was like, what's he doing? What's going on? But anyway, he would have had a lot of interest for your New Japans and your NOAHs back then. Nowadays, I mean, here's what I think. To me, this feels like a guy. He's joining Ishida very soon.
Uh-huh.
like, you know, I just feels like a guy. Shima made some phone calls and said, hey, buddy, we got a spot for you here if you want it. And Doi said, okay, I need to find a way to make this happen. And he did, you know, this exclusive freelancer contract that keeps the door, you know, somewhat open in Dragon Gate. He can still wrestle there without mm-hmm. issue or anything like that. It feels like a pretty good deal for him. But yeah, I would be very surprised if he doesn't wind up with his former compatriots with yeah. the Strong Hearts and Ishida. I think that that's where he's headed.
Makes a lot of sense, actually, yes. Naoki Doi, that's him. So, yeah, we might as well transfer over to Great then, Dylan, as you now sure. mentioned it. They had a show on this Big Match Sunday, as we're recording this show, from Nagoya. It was G Pro Wrestling 35. Got a bit confused because there was never a G Pro Wrestling 34, but that was the show that they canceled last weekend. And for whatever reason in Japan, for companies like Great and for 2AW, too, they had to cancel some of their shows, too, due to COVID, for example. They just then go on in their numbering of the shows, and they just don't say, okay, we're postponing show 34. It's just then gone and will never, ever happen. So this was G Pro Wrestling 35 from Nagoya Diamond Hall. They had a double shot with Big Japan Pro Wrestling, which is why Kobayashi and Okabayashi also were on the show, as well as Hayato, Rising Hayato, and Dan Tamura from All Japan Pro Wrestling. But the main focus of this show, of course, was the G-Rex title match, El Lindemann's sixth defense of the championship against Takanori Ito. He beat Ito in roughly under 17 minutes. I thought the match left a bit on the table because most of the match was about Takanori Ito beating down and throwing around El Lindemann. Lindemann got a few hope spots in where he also showed that he is able to lift and power up a guy like Takanori Ito. But the finish, in my opinion, came very sudden with Blinderman getting one of this hope spots in, and that hope spot turned into the cross armbreaker that eventually then finished the match. So wasn't really too happy with the finish. Match was all right, I thought.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think that this is a match. You see these names on paper, and you're expecting a big, big performance. Yeah. I think that this match was a very good match, don't get me wrong. But it wasn't as crazy great as you might have expected. I think, you know, overall, though, I will say this. Lindemann's a guy early on in his title reign, I didn't think they were really getting all they could have as him as champion. I think the last 2 months, they've done a much better job in terms of positioning him as the guy in the company. You know, the match with Doki last month, I thought was a really great match.
Excellent match,
in general. Yeah, and I thought he looked like the biggest star in the company by the end of it, which they've really struggled with for the first few months of his reign. And now, again, with Ito, I think that they did a good job of positioning him as, you know, definitely one of the guys to watch, one of the impact players of the company. So I think that that point is successful. I also think, as fans, we were just coming off watching, like, a really great match, you know, at the time with how we watched it. And yeah, that took away from this. If this had been on a show, you know, a day on its own, and we just watched it as it was, we might have had a little bit of a better opinion. But ultimately, my opinion kind of coincides with yours. It was a good match. Like, I liked it. It was not bad at all, but it wasn't what you would have wanted it to be.
There is a bit of a red flag, though. Nothing against Nagoya, but, like, Nagoya Diamond Hall is a very tiny venue. 300 people. I think they can draw up to 400, 450 in that venue. But I really have no idea why they did this match in Nagoya and why they aren't putting it on to the next Kurikan show they have on October 9. So, I don't know. I don't know what that tells you about Lindemann as champion. I mean, what you say is true. They presented him as a big deal. The Doki match was great. This one was good here. But the main event of the next Kurikan 4 great is Ryuki Kawakami and Hayato Tamura against Jun Kasai and Masashi Takeda.
Well, I mean, that tells you exactly what I said earlier. It's like they did a bunch of damage early on that everyone argued with me about. And like I said, it's clear. Again, we don't know. I think they've done a better job the last couple of months, but I do think that they messed up those first few months. And they didn't, like, I don't know. I mean, I think they did a bad job the first few months with him as champion. And it wasn't what it could have been. I like that they've at least tried to do better, but it might be time to make a little bit of a change.
I mean, he has had his sixth defense of the championship now. I think it's time for him to eventually lose it to someone, but I'm really not sure who that would be. I mean...
Well, let me ask you something. What about the tag titles? Like, I mean, I thought that
the
was
tag
such,
titles, yes.
Yeah, that was such a bad, weird, baffling decision how they did all of that. I thought it was, like, really... really bad, honestly. Like, if you're just gonna do that, just have these guys win the tournament, you know, at the end of the day. Like, just, you don't have to, you don't have to have somebody else win the tournament and then lose 1 week later. Like, you knew you wanted these guys as champions. Put up the titles on them. You don't have to screw up the title lineage. Like, it was so weird to me. I didn't understand this.
What happened was that first Bulk Orchestra, it's both Bulk Orchestra. Kazuma Sakamoto and Ryuichi Kawakami won the tag title tournament for the G Infinity title. They won the championships on September 4. And no, they won the championships on August 24. And then they lost it on September 4. So they had a big 11-day title reign. And the new champions are Hayato Tamura and Chek Shimatani, the former Noburo Shimatani. That was a wild decision. And I don't know what it is all about. The only thing that I was thinking at the point in time was that Kazuma Sakamoto was probably leaving the company, but he still is on the next cards. So I don't know.
And look, I have no problem with them as champions. Like, no. When I watched that match, what I thought about that match was I thought Hayato Tamura is at a certain level. And then the other three are at a level below him, in my opinion. Right. Like, you know,
so Hayato Tamura feels like the right guy for the G-Rex.
Yeah. Man, I mean, he'd be great as the G-Rex champion, too. Like, beating Lindemann. Like, you know, if they wanted to do that. But, I mean, he's got the tag titles now. So, like, I mean, I think that feels like he's stuck in that. Like, to me, I really thought T-Hawk should have been the first champion in the first place. You know, especially if you weren't going to get behind Lindemann. And it feels like that they finally caught up 6 months later, like from where they should have. And like I said, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with him going forward. I mean, the match was good. He's had some really good matches overall. Like I thought the Doki match was like the one where he finally clicked. And because I really didn't, I thought his reign was, and I hate to say this because I like him, but people were overrating his title reign early on, man. Like, you know, like it just was not what it should have been. And like now they finally got there, but it might, you know, what you said is true. It might be too late now. And now they're focused on this tag title division, which again,
that's not really that they're focused on the division.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I mean, Kasai's got a lot of buzz right now. With that match with Desperado was like a.
The Desperado match. I quickly want to mention that it's been a couple of, it's been 2 weeks now, actually, about the Jun Kasai El Desperado match is going to be high on my match of the year list. What a special match. What a great death match it was. Desperado going in there and basically sacrificing himself with Jun Kasai. In Jun Kasai's wheelhouse, Desperado was able to hang with him. This was... I mean, I love Desperado. Everybody knows that. So this match, I adored that.
Yeah. It was a very special moment. And they built the whole show around it. You had the amazing promos at the end, you know, to where I think that got a lot of people invested. Even if you're not really a fan or knowledgeable about Jun Kasai, just the stuff going around about the promo afterwards, I think really made everyone take notice of all of that. So great stuff there. You know, for sure. And like I said, he's got a lot of buzz. So I see why you would want to put him in the main event. And it's just a shame because I think, you know, Lindemann, they could have done a lot better with him overall. Mm. That's kind of how I feel. But he's a very good worker. And I enjoyed the match for what it was. But like I said, I think it was a tough spot. Again, never mind anything else. Nothing that was anybody's fault, per se. Just the timing of it hurt us as fans more than anything.
Yes. Let's look at the Hurricane 4. Great. That's coming up. That's Great Version X, so EX, that stands for extra in their lingo. There are three UWF matches opening up the show with Minoru Tanaka going against Kotaro Nasu. The guy's still around, yes. Wonder what he's done with all the lands and money. Then we have two UWF tag matches. Takanori Ito and Yui Suka against Hikaru Sato and Hideki Shrek, Sekine, and Mika Iwata, and Tomoka Inaba versus Maya Fukuda and Michiko Miyagi. This could be great.
Yeah, you know, that's another... I think now that they've got these Infinity titles, right, for the tag titles, they need to figure out something for the women. You get them a title next, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, that's cool. Like, that match is very cool. But we've seen variations of it so on every show, basically.
That's
so
true.
You know, like I said, like I love all of those women, like as great wrestlers. But I just think that they need to kind of elevate the division a little bit more because they're in a holding pattern. You know, they're doing the same stuff on every show. You get some really good matches. I like pretty much all of their matches. I enjoy. They're the things that you could always count on, like on this show. It's always consistent. It's always good. You always see some great fight. From Fukuda, especially, and whatever they're doing.
Yeah, so. The match with Michiko Miyagi on the show with Lindemann and Takanori Ito was really a good and fiery, exciting UWF Roots match.
Yeah, you know, those are two things I think going forward at the end of the year. Get UWF some shine and maybe give something for the women to do besides just these tag matches. Because, like I said, I like what they're doing. It's just I like to see a next chapter in all of these stories.
Yes. By the way, I also wanted to mention one thing from the show in Nagoya 2, which I really liked, is they had a match with Tetsuya Itsuki and Oji Shiba. One of the more competitive matches I've seen from Shiba since his return recently. And Itsuki has invited Shiba to join 60 Seconds. So it's now Itsuki, Jun Tonsho, Keiichi Sato, and Oji Shiba in one of the more... one of the cooler groups that there are in Japanese pro wrestling right now.
Oh, yeah, I loved them. I would have put the titles on 60 Seconds.
Yeah.
I said that before the show. I said, or before they actually did that. We were talking about it on there. You know, you did predict the winner accurately, or the one you wanted to win. I just don't think it was how you planned out the title reign, the 11-day title reign. But I was like, man, if it were me, 60 Seconds is getting the rocket ship. It ain't great. You know, like
I said. That did not happen.
No, it didn't happen at all, but I do think that they're a team that has a lot of great things about them, and I think that they, like, and I don't even mind them not being champions, because I think they could have a valuable role, like, on every card. these are all charismatic guys. They can all have great matches, you know, undercard type of matches, get the fans warmed up and really excited for the show. I think that's kind of the role they've been playing on the opening matches a lot with Tancho and stuff. And you see somebody like Izuchi, I think, has a lot of potential as well. They can do a lot of great things with all of these guys. And I think that they can play a really good role on the show. It's going to be interesting because the company going forward, their identity is becoming more and more junior heavyweight based when it comes to someone like an Ishida coming in. Maybe Doi comes in next. You like Lindemann is your champion right now. I think that that's a very interesting call, and I don't think what a lot of people may have expected going forward. I mean, you know, you had the Strong Hearts there at first, but I don't think as a junior company, I think it's interesting that they went that way.
Yeah, it's a great point that you bring up, actually. I think there is a place for a company like that because what we've been saying for the past 3 years, basically, is that neither New Japan nor All Japan nor Pro Wrestling Noah really have been able to promote their junior divisions to a point where you could actually say that they are able to make a big draw with their junior division. Noah tried with their Sumo Hall show earlier this year to not of a great success. New Japan and All Japan didn't really try. So getting into this direction is really interesting with great. Given that most of the heavyweights that are around in Japan are locked up by the bigger companies.
Yeah, but we have DDT and Dragon Gate for that.
I know that they are around as well, but you still have the UWF side of things, and you have a lot of variety working with different companies as well.
UWF side is what I would have done, but they haven't done that. Like they haven't gotten behind the UWF scene nearly what they should have, in my opinion.
But like given that the championship is an open weight title, it's not really like that they are a junior company or getting into direction of becoming a junior company, but guys like Lindemann and T-Hawk, Itsuki, Ishida, they can be considered some of the, not Lindemann, but the other three that I mentioned, some of the bigger guys in the company. When you count out Kawakami and Tamura, for example, they can be counted as some of the bigger guys in the company. So leaning towards a junior heavy style in the open weight title scene can be a good way to go for great, I think.
I mean, maybe. Like I said, I don't think it's really proven to be true, like with Lindemann as champion, ultimately. Like, and I don't think they were ready. I don't think they were ready when they put the title on him to get behind him like they should have, in my opinion. I think that they would have been smart to, you know, like I said, T-Hawk would have been my pick probably just because he was around at the start, but somebody like an Irie, who they had that title match with Lindemann before.
Yep.
I mean, I saw that match and I was like, man, this guy, like this is a guy you want to build a title around. Like, that's what I was thinking after that match.
Would have done that too, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like there's no guys that they can use here. They've chosen to do what they've done here, and I don't agree with it. Like, I don't agree with a lot of the stuff they've done. And they're a company I've always liked. Again, I've always kind of backed them, and I like their shows, like, as a fan. Great experience. I love how they try different things. The YouTube shows are so much fun and very easy to watch. But just in terms of what I would have done, I think they could have done a lot of things different. In my opinion.
Given this card, they also seem like they are in a transitional period right now where they try to find their next signature deal, so to speak, because they are bringing in a lot of guys from different companies on this show. They have Kasayashi and Tomo Watanabe against Bandido and Commander, for example. They sometimes just bring in these lucha guys for no good reason.
Let's just cut to the chase of all this. What is this company's identity, really?
This is exactly what I was going to say while going through this card, because there's a lot of different matches on this here. So let me just quickly run through this. With Shima and John Toncho against Jake Lee and Czech Chimatani, not really sure where this is going with Jake Lee coming in now. They of course use sometimes they use Dragon All Japan guys, but Jake Lee, interesting stuff. Then the first match of Kaito Ishida in the company against Tetsuya Itsuki. Probably Ishida is winning. And then we have a weird match with the Strong Hearts, Teok, Elineman, and Issei Onitsuka going against Shigeyori Irie, Kazuma Sakamoto, and Tomoaki Honma. So with John Kasai also in the main event, to me it seems like that right now they are looking at what talent is available and what can we do. So the period of where Great used to focus mostly on the G Pro Wrestling side, mostly on the Bulk Orchestra and Strong Hearts side, that kind of looks to be taking a little bit of a backseat with all the foreign talent, not foreign talent, but talent from other companies coming into the company, which once again makes Great this company. And maybe that's where their identity lies, that they are a company that they include JTO, All Japan, New Japan Pro Wrestling. They get the Freedoms guys. They get the former Dragon Gate guys. So maybe that's what they are looking at.
Yeah, it's clear that they've done that, but I don't think that, to me, doesn't sound like a method to success. That's something that could be fun.
It will
to
definitely
watch.
Not bring them to a higher success level.
Yeah, like that could be fun to watch, but in my opinion, I think that they should have. And I felt like they really had something at the start of everything. Remember that first big show they had where Sho was in the main event versus Ito? It felt like they had something going on there with the UWF style being more prominent. And they really turned away from that for some reason. But, you know, well, I mean, like I said, what you said is true no matter what. That's not an identity. That's like a business strategy, you know? Like that. That's a strategy, but that's not an identity, just having all these people wrestle there. So I hope that they can nail down something going forward for that.
Let me ask you this, too. Now that they've cut down on UWF, that now the UWF isn't even in the main event anymore, at the same time, they announce that they are opening up an MMA brand.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I saw that. Yeah, the MMA brand.
So there seems to be an influx of many, many ideas that they have going on at the same time, whereas following one would maybe the idea to go with right now, and not all of them.
First of all, I got super hype. The Panthers blocked a field goal, and I had to like control myself from letting a scream of joy out. So shout out to the Panthers right now for playing great against their rival team. But, you know, didn't they announce that at the start of the – when they? Because remember, they were like, we have three different brands, the G Pro Wrestling, the UWF, and then there was like Lidette MMA or something like that. I feel like they announced that at the start of it. This may be a Mandela effect live and in person. But I feel like they announced something with MMA at the start of the company. But now you're totally right. They announced this again. They either announced it or re-announced it or announced new plans or whatever they did with this new MMA style. It seems like they're really going to go forward with it. Because like you said, they never really did anything with it before. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that. MMA in general in Japan feels like they've had a pretty strong year overall. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see. They might be trying to jump on that. That could be a little bit of a side adventure, and maybe it could become a more than a side adventure if things go well for somebody. I can't speak on their roster of MMA talent or what their skill is in an MMA sense, but hopefully they do some good things. I wish them luck, whoever they have planned to be on that MMA side.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah, so much I guess we can say about Great. I'd say we go to DDT next.
Yes, but I will rant on one thing real quick. I have to rant on big sports book right now. I will not even give them the time of day, but I will say I bet on the Panthers both of the first 2 weeks of this season streak. Losses. I lost, and they lost. And we all lost. Now they're winning, and I want to bet in the middle of the game, but the sportsbook is telling me I can't bet during the game.
Oh.
That's legal. Every time you can bet during the game. But the point is that the app is down. It's not working. We're working to resolve this as quickly as possible. The Panthers up 13-0 at halftime. It could have been a huge win for me, Stringer. They've cost me. So I'm very unhappy with this certain sports book that is a partner of the NFL. I will not give them the time of day. I hate them very much, and I will take my business elsewhere as well. I will retire from the sports betting world after this. So bad look on their end. But with that said,
quick moment of silence for the sports betting world losing Dylan.
Yes. Well, I mean, I'm sure I will do something in between. It's like one of those Onita retirements.
I was just gonna, say it.
Yeah, that's the same. This is a worker's retirement from here. But going forward, I just want the Panthers to win. That's all I want. But anyway, let's talk about DDT here.
Yes, DDT had their Who's Gonna Top show from Currican Hall this Sunday, the 25th, with two top title matches. The first of them was for the Universal title, where Yuki Ueno defended the championship against the Black Swan, Cara Noir. It was not his debut, but the first big match that he had with DDT, I'm pretty sure.
They had that tag match on the...
They had the tag match. Exactly, yeah, on the week before. But now they had the Who's Got a Top Show, Currican Hall, 701 fans. And Yuki Ueno defeated Cara Noir in 13 minutes in a match that got hugely over with the crowd. And I want to say that Cara Noir, he is very good at getting over with a crowd very quickly. So I was really not surprised that this match was that well received. This guy has this really explosive energy when he bursts out his submission moves and his kicks that he does with the drop kick and the dives to the outside. Really good stuff there. Yuki Ueno was able to respond with his own signature moves that are also based on very quick pacing. So this match was a good fit before both guys. What's your... you've seen him before, I guess, but what's your opinion on Cara Noir in Japan?
Yeah, I've seen him before, very briefly. I've seen him a few times. I don't want to sit here and say I'm some expert in his game. I've seen him hundreds of times, but I have seen him before. To me, what stood out to me was his entrance, and I think that really got everybody going right away here at DDT as well. In the past, his entrance. What do you have to say about that, String? I know you got something on your mind.
That's the entire point of the entire Cara Noir gimmick, Dylan.
Yes.
When you've seen the entrance once, twice, three times, you've seen the entrance. 16 Carat 2020, the last event before the pandemic. That's what they label it always. I've seen the entrance four times because he won the tournament in 2020. And when I saw it for the fourth time within 3 days, I really couldn't see it anymore. I was done with it. And that's the thing about Cara Noir. He is a very talented guy, but the guy has the tendency to lose his appeal really quickly. I'm hoping that he's able to get over with the crowd here, that he's able to continue to get over with the crowd here. I know that he's been able to do that in progress, but for me, the guy has an appeal when he comes into the company and wrestles some matches. He's been in WXW too, and to me, his appeal took a big loss because the gimmick isn't very versatile, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and I mean, that's exactly what I was going to say. Ultimately, the entrance is great at first, mm-hmm. but it's a one-note act, at the end of the day, and it's going to be...
And there really isn't much more. That's the guy.
And yeah.
I've seen him when he was still working very tiny indies in England. I was there for a Rev Pro show, and I was able to see an indie show where he was on with about 70, 80 fans in attendance at that time. It's the same company that Kota Ibushi also worked for. I'm blanking on the name of the company right now, so apologies to Dan Reed here. I saw him there, and at that point he was kind of this hidden gem within the British scene, and he grew to be one of their main focused talents. But that has been 5-6 years, and he has never added anything to the act. So he's now in Japan, and he's new for all the fans there. But how far can he go from there? I'm not sure that he'll be able to do much more.
Yeah, you know, it's another Brit res guy. I mean, DDT's really leaning on these foreigners, which, you know, we're going to get to the tournament.
And... I want to say CCK returning. I love that with Kid Lykos coming in.
Yeah, you know, I thought that Brooks, he's a guy that really, and that's kind of what I said because we were talking about the anniversary show, and me and Sondre were on the Patreon, and my opinion on Cara Noir there was like, okay, I'm not really a big fan of this guy, but I think Brooks is a guy that came in with a personality, you know, very smart mm-hmm. about getting over on Twitter and everything, but then he really grew as a wrestler, and he's somebody that I actually pretty much enjoy now, Chris Brooks. He's a guy that I like. I think he's doing a good job, and he really improved a lot when he got there. So we can hope that these guys, you know, your Kid Lykoses and your Cara Noirs, they can improve in DDT, and we can actually see them maybe do better. And I think that's – and I'm trying to keep an open mind to these guys that I really don't want to see, in all honesty. Like I don't want to watch these guys. These people they're bringing in. But I'm trying to have an open mind to them, and so far for Cara Noir, it's so far so good. It would be how I would describe him. But like you said, the longevity is definitely something to keep an eye on with him, because I completely agree with you.
In the main event of that show, we had the match for the KOD Openweight Championship between Katsu Sadaiguchi and Konosuke Takeshita. And they had built up that match with tag matches before greatly. I watched not only the Akiyama anniversary show, but also the show before the Who's Gonna Top tour in Asakusa, which was a tiny show with 200 fans in attendance. And in the main event, there was a six-man tag with Takeshita, Toi Kojima, and Yuki Ueno against Higuchi, Yoshimura, and Ishida. And at one point, Kojima and Ishida, who are two of the top young talent in the entire country of Japan, they battled one another and they just couldn't anymore and they just fell to the mat, which then led to Takeshita and Higuchi dragging them to their separate corners to make the tag to finally fight against one another, which was a great prelude to what they eventually did on this show here on the 25th. I'm not taking anything away from the match between Kenno and Kiyomiya when I say that I enjoyed this match much more than I did enjoy the Kenno and Kiyomiya match. While I still thought that Kenno and Kiyomiya had a good match, I thought that Higuchi and Takeshita had a fantastic match based on the idea that Higuchi, in the absence of Konosuke Takeshita, and basically by chance took over the main event scene from one of the pillars in Tetsuya Endo, and the other pillar wasn't around for the challenge to Higuchi. But Higuchi had grown so much that he is now a true top guy and a true main event talent with the confidence that he probably didn't have before when he lost these big matches. But now he is there, and he carries himself with this confidence as well. And then comes in And then Konosuke Takeshita comes in with his confidence from America, where he had grown so much as well, not only given his experience, but also he is bigger than he was before when he left Japan. So these two big guys battled over supremacy in the DDT ring with all the power that they had. Higuchi with all the power moves, all the sumo tackles that he has. Takeshita with a jumbo knee that always got countered by Higuchi with his Butchikamashi, the shoulder block. Once again, want to put overhaul. That is my favorite word in any language, Dylan, Butchikamashi. And with the running headbutt that he eventually finished the match. Basically, what was a mixture of the shoulder tackle and a headbutt. So the way they approached this match of who's the stronger guy and the theme of the show, who's gonna top this one, being under 20 minutes as well, was just a blast to watch.
To me, Takeshita can never be doubted in any kind of main event spot or any kind of spot, really. We've seen it all over the world at this point this year. I think he's had an amazing year wrestling all over the world, and he's a guy that you can slot in any kind of main event spot and you're going to get a great match. And we saw it here. This was the match I was talking about earlier that may have hurt our perception of the Lindemann and Ito match that happened just after the show. You know, I think watching this match, it's clear that this match overtook that one. And like you said, maybe even it hurt the perception of Kenno and Kaito as well. We could argue. because this match was really something great. Higuchi, they've done a wonderful job with him. This is the opposite of what I was saying about Lindemann and Great. It's like they've gotten behind this guy, and it's like, okay, whatever happened, he is now our guy. Now is the time. We're putting everything behind him. We're putting double titles on him. We're having to beat all the main eventers. He's main eventing every show. He is the guy. And yes. I think it's working well. I think that he's having a great run in terms of in-ring quality. I thought that Endo match was one of the best Endo matches like I've seen in forever. That was like the only highlight of that whole show of Peter Pan was his match. And here you have Takeshita, who's a tremendous performer. And it's like another step in his own growth with Higuchi to where he can put this guy away, the ace of the company. And it feels like Takeshita, who knows what his future is going to hold in DDT or what he's going to do or where he'll go next. But for now, Higuchi is the man in DDT. And I think they've totally got that over. I think Takeshita deserves a lot of credit for a very unselfish performance here. This made Higuchi look like a hero. You know, early on, you know, the crowd was kind of riding with Takeshita at the start of the match. But by the end, this crowd was really fired up for Higuchi to make his big comeback and get the big win. And I think that's a testament to Takeshita's work underneath and also Higuchi's greatness as well. So I think everything about this was a really strong, fantastic main event, exactly what the company needed. And I think like Higuchi's definitely carrying the company on his shoulders right now, in my opinion, and doing a great job at it.
And they also lined up two more title matches for him. First, of course, Shinya Aoki. He has a right to challenge anytime, anywhere contract, so he could just any day say that he's wrestling Katsuhara Higuchi, and he just came to the ring after the match and said, "Hi, I'm here," and he just left then. But then Yukio Sakaguchi came to the ring, and this is the obvious match to do because, of course, Higuchi was part of the group of the... I'm blanking on the name, Dylan. You got to help me here.
Eruption.
Eruption, right? The Eruption group. And he left to form his own group with Yoshimura and with Yuki Ishida now. So that's an obvious title match to go with. And then then Shinya Aoki. So both title matches, they are good on paper, but both matches are not matches where you would assume that the challenger wins them. So I think we got a nice title run for Higuchi out of him.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of gas left in this tank, to be honest with you. Even after beating the two main guys, I think now we can go on a nice little run, cruise ahead. I think he should definitely be the champion into 2023. And, you know, I think that's something we can look at. You know, I think there's a lot of gas left in his tank as champion. So hopefully he has a good run in between. But very good match, too. And that's the great thing with him as champion. The way they set it up was him beating the pillars of the company, so to speak.
Yes.
Was an important deal for him, but now we have a personal deal with his former partner as the Panthers recover another fumble, which they did earlier on here, I have to mention. Very
great life report, thank you.
Yes, a very exciting moment here. But I'm trying to hold in my excitement right now here, because I want to like jump up and go crazy. Because I do that sometimes with wrestling, even, you know, not often, but sometimes if something really gets to me, I'll stand up off the bed that I'm watching and just kind of be like, yes, like that kind of deal. But Higuchi here, I love his title reign so far. I think you've got this personal match. I think it's great. Like I said, DDT's done a lot of stuff I'm not a big fan of this year, but I think that they've done a great job with this particular title reign, because now you've got the two big matches, and now that's like a springboard to his personal match, which is important to Eruption fans and things going on there. So I think that they've done a great job with that.
Yes. And after Sakaguchi and potentially Aoki, there is the DO Grand Prix at the end of the year, and they announced two blocks for that tournament, with block A being Yuki Ueno, Naomi Yoshimura, Joey Janela, Tetsuya Endo, Daisuke Sasaki, and Ricky Shane Page. I did not expect him. What do you think about this block?
Oh, it sucks. I'm so uninterested in all of it.
I gotta say that Joey Janela in Japan has been very entertaining, but except for that, I really don't see a lot on this block, to be quite honest.
I hate him. I think he's easily one of the worst wrestlers. In just his one match I saw, like, he proved himself that he has no talent whatsoever.
What do you think about RSP?
No talent. I don't want to see any of these people in any company I watch. So, like, them being on the show makes me... And I... DDT's always kind of behind the eight ball with me, just in general. Like, I kind of have to force myself to enjoy a lot of what they do, just because I know there's stuff on the full shows that I can easily skip, thankfully, and they have great matches and great talents that I really respect a lot. Ueno, amazing worker. Like, I think he's, like, one of the best in Japan. Like, a little bit underrated, even. He's a guy... And sometimes this happens with the fans in general, where a guy will have a hot run... And everyone will be riding with him, but then when it's time to come back down, he kind of gets forgotten about a little bit. Maybe the opportunities aren't there, but he's tremendous. And I think if he wins the block, then that's good. But I don't want to see these guys, man. I don't want to watch these people, like, under any circumstances. I just don't think they're very good. They're not for me. They belong in GCW with their fan base, which, again, nothing against them. Everyone has their place in wrestling. But I don't want to watch these people at the end of the day. Like, they have no, like, zero appeal to me as wrestlers. And I watched Janela. I can't say anything positive about his wrestling that you've seen at him so far. I think that he's just somebody that maybe he's just not for me. If you're a fan of his, God bless you. But for me, I do not want to see these GCW guys. And I don't know why these companies always rely on these foreigners so much, these super indie guys that,
I don't know. I, for one, I think the block is not very interesting on paper, but I'm interested in seeing RSP against these Japanese guys. What he's up to.
The one positive of that, hey, it's like you said, it's very unexpected at least. So I think if he can pull something out, this is probably the biggest thing that he's done, in his career. Maybe he has some things in GCW he takes pride in, but for the grand scheme of things, this is probably one of the biggest things he's done so far. If he could tap into some kind of gear that. And in a different environment, than the GCW environment. If he could tack him into some kind of an extra gear that he has that maybe I haven't seen, then maybe we could see these guys. And, it could be interesting. It's something new. It's something fresh. It's something that nobody expected. Maybe he could find a way to play off of people. And I hope that happens. I hope they come in there and I say, damn it, Striga, these guys totally overachieved on my expectations. I had no expectations for them. I'm going to watch the tournament. I'm going to watch all their matches, even though I don't want to. I'm going to watch them. And so I hope that we come in here and I come back and say, man, these guys proved me wrong. Like I said, just like with Brooks. I mean, I never completely wrote off Brooks the way I don't like these guys. I actively don't like their wrestling. He was just a guy that was, just to me, like a mediocre dude who happens to be good on Twitter. And now he's like a good dude that also is very good at getting over on Twitter. So I hope that these guys come in and it's like they improve and they impress me. And I can come in here and say, man, I'm so happy that we got to see these guys in this light because they really showed something that I didn't see in them. So I hope for that.
Chris Brooks is in Block B of this tournament, along with the champion, Katsu Sada Higuchi, Mao, Yuji Hino, Cannon, and Yuki Onaya, which is a great, great block.
Yeah, this one's a lot better, I would say, than A block. I really like a lot, pretty much everybody there. I think overall, it's interesting what they're going to do with this one. Like, who do you think is going to advance in these blocks? Because to me, Ueno stands out a lot in A block.
But he's champion too.
That's right. So who else could it be in A block?
Well, Endo is always there. Always an opportunity. Always an option.
Yeah, he's already had his title shot, though.
He's had his title shot, though, yes. Yoshimura would be interesting.
That would be interesting. I think that would be a really cool thing if they did that. You know, partners facing off. Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't even have to be partners facing off. It could also be him losing in the final and Higuchi rooting for him. That could also be an option.
Yeah.
Because that would be a great inbuilt storyline with the guy from Block B then beating Higuchi's tag team partner.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense as well.
So Block
B. Good call on your part.
Thank you. Block B, I would... I'm kind of looking at Yuji Hino because that would be a great title match with Higuchi.
Yeah, that's a very logical, like, stylistic match, like the big guys who can hit really hard, very cool match they could have there. I'm totally down with Hino winning. He's a guy that, like, the thing with him at DDT is he never does anything.
No.
He's a tremendous wrestler. It's just his whole time in DDT, I don't think they've gotten nearly what they could have out of him that they've had. And I mean, I like him. I get that, you know, for the DDT style, I mean, you've got Higuchi. It took him a long time to even get Higuchi where he is now. You know, a lot of people thought he should have been in this spot years ago, you know, so it's interesting how they look at that. But I would love if Hino got the win. I think Kanon would be a really good person, like young guy.
It's really early. I was also going to say Yuki Onaya, but I think for both guys, it would be really early.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely early, but I think that here's my argument for that. Whoever wins this tournament is not going to beat Higuchi for the title.
That's true. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, Hino, he's another one. Like, it's early, yes, or it's not early for Hino, but it is early because he never does anything. Like, these guys are all kind of in the same spot of the card, this mid-card role, more or less. So, like, any one of those three winning the tournament is a big step up from where they're at to challenging for the title, in my opinion. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Bit, since we're talking about Yuji Hino here, bit of K-Dojo lore, Dylan, on this card.
Yes.
After the six-man tag in the mid-card where Damnation defeated Omega, Makoto Oishi, Yuji Hino, and Naomi Yoshimura, they beat down Makoto Oishi, and who came to save his former tag team partners? It was ex-Shihiro Asahi, because, of course, Kayentai Dojo and all of these guys from the first class, they celebrate their 20th anniversary this year. They recently had a show where they had the 20th anniversary for Shihiro Asahi on... I'm just finding it right now. Yeah, for Shiro Asai and the referee, Naruzi Akimune, they both had their 25th anniversary for 2AW now because, of course, they debuted together in Kayentai Dojo back in the day.
Yeah, you know, I remember seeing Asahi, like, he was one of those guys around the era I was watching there. And Hino was as well. Kazuma was there, Madoka, Mashimo.
If you've never seen Yuji Hino pre-2010, that's a completely different dude.
Yeah.
Basically, it's twice the size he was back then.
Yeah, but I will say he has, you know, he even by that point he had the, you know, he had the middle fingers deal coming up. So you know, the personality is the same, the body just transformed a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that closes out DDT for now. Going over to the final topic for today's show that I have is Pro Wrestling Noah. They had their grand ship in Nagoya, Pro Wrestling Love Forever 2, The Outbreak. In the main event of that show, Dylan, Kaito Kiyomiya defeated Kenno to become GHC Heavyweight Champion for the second time. And they've been... This title... Let's look at this title. In February, Katsuyori Nakajima loses the title to Katsuyuki Fujita. He only has a 63-day reign because of COVID. Then Goshi Ozaki wins the title, has it for 43 days, loses it to Satoshi Kojima, who only had a 33-day title reign. Then Kenno wins the title, 71 days as a champion. And once, just like his predecessors to the championship, he never had a successful title defense. So now, Kaito Kiyomiya wins the title, and after the match, calls out Katsuyuki Fujita. So, Dylan, are we facing another zero title defense reign?
Yeah, you know, this company's made a lot of stupid decisions this year. And the title has never meant less because of these decisions that they've made, in large part. This one to me would be so crazy that I know I'm probably gonna look stupid at the end of this and he's gonna win the title. but to me, this is so off the wall and wrong that I just, my mind is not computing the imagery of them going through all of this, all of what they've gone through, just to have him lose it right away with zero defenses after everything we've been through. My mind is not computing it, even though I know it's possible.
It's absolutely possible, and that is, I knew that this talking point would come up, and I'm just gonna say, look at what they did to Nakajima in February.
And that's going to be a thing that we have to pay attention to.
And you could even see it after the match when Fujita just dumped the beer over.
Oh, I hated that.
And he looked like this child.
Oh, I hated that. Just whatever happens with the main event, hopefully he can get revenge or whatever. But just where we're at now, with no psychic or even pontificating about the future. Like, just him coming out and doing that was so, like, Bush League, I thought, from the company. Like, why would you do that? Like, they spent this whole time building up this title win, and they did the right thing. To me, I think it was the right call to have Kaito win the title now. You know, you built him up. He's gone through enough obstacles. We don't need any more setbacks. You know, he's gone through far too many, if anything. He finally got his win over Muto. Whatever you want to say about it, he did it. And then he wins the tournament. Great match. Like, I loved that final over Hideki. I thought that match was a lot better than this main event, in my opinion, the match with Hideki.
Yeah.
He went through a lot to get there. He had this amazing match to win the final. Looked like a star. And they did a good number, too, for that event. What'd they do for this Dolphins show here?
A little under 2,000, 1,933 fans.
So you think that's enough to start blaming for the
people? Who knows, man? Maybe they're going to start blaming people because All Japan has drawn more to Budokan now.
That's true. Like I said, I still wonder if the sponsors had nothing to do with that. But like, hey, it's okay. Well, listen, by hook or crook, they proved us all wrong. Well, now, there was somebody who predicted over 4,000 when we asked about
that. Yes, exactly. Shout out.
So that he knew better. Like he knew he might have had a sponsor.
Yeah, maybe
a sponsor source right there. The secret info.
Maybe
right
it was Cabalito himself.
Man, Carmel Ito's. Listen, I have it on good authority that old Carvel, he's a loyal listener to the Eastern Lariat, so yeah. Not surprising he's scoping out some of our listeners, our fans, and trying to get in with them, trying to get some secret info, making him look better. What a generous guy. Giving secret info to make our fans look better. Thank you so much, Mr. ATM.
But
yes, the Dolphins Arena number, I don't know what to make of it. I don't know what they're going to make of it. But is it enough to avoid them saying, well, I guess we need to go back again. We can't have this again.
It absolutely is.
You're not, you say, in your heart, your first take is that this was not a great number.
No, I think this is an okay number. And I also thought that the number that they did for the N1 final was good. But if they want to spin this in a direction, they just can.
Well, whatever. We thought that the New Year show was a good number as well.
Yeah, and they spun it in a different direction too.
Or an okay number. It wasn't good, but it was okay. It was not. Like, I thought the N1 number was like surprisingly good, in my opinion. It showed that there was interest in all of this that I didn't know was there, considering how low the tour was not good for the most
part. I mean, they put a lot of emphasis on this show. They put all the titles on the line, and they had this great Keiji Muto match lined up too. And I think that's where we should like head a bit. I mean, is this Keiji Muto retirement series, is this series really what it's all about, or is it just the eventual retirement in the Tokyo Dome?
Yeah, I think the Dome show is going to be really big. The lead up to it is not proven to be special. Let's just say, you know, like maybe you can argue good, bad, or indifferent, but it's not been special. I think his whole run in Noah has not been special in terms of attendances.
So it's really unfair to blame it on younger talent, but I can see them going there again.
I mean, because we've seen it happen before, so you have to think about it. And it's just the idea of him beating Fujita. I mean, that again, that's going to take that's a bridge we have to cross. You know, you know, and they could just do a draw. They could just do a time limit draw, if they want. You know, may have another 30 minutes of stare down match to make it in there if they want. But I mean, you know, I don't know. Like I said, to me, it's just too crazy for me to comprehend. Even though, like I said, I know your point. I know that you're right, and I know it's possible. But it's so stupid that despite how many bad decisions have been made, my mind is not comprehending it. I'm sorry.
And I don't blame you for that, because it doesn't really make sense.
At least we'll have some fun stuff to talk about. If that happens.
So the match, Kaito Kiyomiya defeats Kenno, 26 minutes. What did you think about it?
Really good match. I do think that definitely not as good as the Takeshita and Higuchi match, I have to say. We have to take that caveat into effect. Maybe that affected... maybe my own perception. So I'm not going to, you know, we can all take this with a grain of salt here. I thought that it was a good match in terms of pacing and everything. They didn't go too long. They kept things where they needed to. I thought that, you know, Kaito, he's trying, it feels like, he's still doing a lot of the Muto stuff, but he's trying to add his own flair to them to mixed success, yeah. in my yeah. opinion.
I agree with you. I saw that this match was really strike-heavy, both from Kaito's side, but much more, of course, from Kenno's side with the PFS. Kenno also did the Shining Wizard. Kaito, he early on in the match, he tried this weird modified version with a step up, but yeah. later on in the match, he did the regular Shining Wizard, which is much, much better.
Yeah, his so, version of the Shining Wizard kind of sucks.
Yeah, just yeah. get rid of that.
Yeah, tear that page out of the playbook.
Right. No, what I liked here, especially with Kaito, was that he was going through different phases of his career, but which is maybe why he has this Brightful Colors right now, because he also did the Tiger Suplex Hold, which he used to do when he was still wearing green and with his first title run was his finishing move, but he also did the Muto influences, so that was kind of a good approach to this match.
What do you think of those boots Kaito had on?
It's furry boots.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's the colorful guy now, so that's expected.
Yeah, just another change to his attire with the boots. Mm-hmm. A little bit like almost wings. yeah. I've seen people talk about on there. So, interesting deal there. I was a much bigger fan of his original look with the green and everything than his subsequent entries into things. I still kind of have that problem with him that I hate saying it because I love him as a talent. I've always said this guy is so underrated as a true champion and as a wrestler. I don't think he ever got his due when he was one of the top tier talents in terms of just purely in ring in the whole world, in my opinion. But to me, when I look at him now, I don't see what I saw in him before. Like, I don't see that ace guy. Like, when I look at his appearances, his presentation, I don't see what I saw before.
The thing, they try to make him into this guy. With all the influences that he has, they try to make him to this guy, whereas what made him in the first place was working. But they try to improve. They try to do this story with Muto. They try to give him all the Muto-isms. Maybe it's a little bit much.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much of his best interest was considered when that Muto deal was going on at the end of the day. I don't know if that was the point of it all. Like, unfortunately.
They stumbled on something with Muto retiring, let me phrase it like that.
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, and even then, like, you know, who knows if this is going to end up working at the end of the day. It's been, like I said, so far, like, I think him coming up and winning would have worked with or without Muto, in my opinion. If anything, it might have been a bit better without him losing all those times. But, you know, he's a guy that I really love his talent. I don't know about the look. I don't know about the presentation. But, like I said, I think he can make this work overall. It's not, like, so horrendous. It's unique, at least. I will give him that. It's something that, hey, this you see this look and you know it's him. So I like that. I like that he has something unique, at least. We'll see what happens with Fujita. I think after that match, we'll have a lot more clarity about where he's heading because that Muto show is going to be a huge deal for not just Muto himself, but I think pretty much everybody in Noah, well, it will be a huge deal. So once we get past this Fujita deal, and I don't like the thing of that either because I think the one good thing about this match, unlike the All Japan matches that we talked about, I think there was definitely reasonable doubt that Kenno could win this match. I think that there was a lot. You know, you could easily buy him winning. The way they built it up made me think that, like, I thought Kenno was going to win, honestly, the way they built the match up. I do like how they also introduced Kenno's own influence, where he did the reverse dragon screw, which was like the move of Shinzaki in Michinoku Pro. So it's kind of like the battling versions of that. So I really liked all that stuff there that they did. But I thought that he might win. I thought he was probably the favorite to win, but I would have had Kaito win, and I think they did the right thing on that end. We'll see where he goes. But I don't like how this felt like this is it. Like, are they ready? Is this the time they go for Kaito? Like, are they ready? He's won the tournament. Are they going to do it? And then they did it, and now immediately there's this Fujita, and now it feels the same thing. It's like, okay, are they really going to go for him? Is he going to beat Fujita? Like, or is he just going to lose, and that's going to be the end of it? So it's like we have the one big test, and now immediately this new big test has come in. I think it could have been spaced out a little bit better, even if you're going to go with Fujita at the end.
What did you think about Nakajima doing the Muto handspring?
Everyone is doing Muto stuff.
Everybody is the entire company is Keiji Muto now.
Yeah, Muto's influence is very strong within the company. So Nakajima, you know, again, a very good talent. I think that they could have gotten a little bit more out of his run, maybe even a lot more out of his run at the top. Obviously, it's been a very rocky road for him going into here, but, you know, I thought he did good in the match. You know, it was a nice match. I didn't think it was special.
No, it was a nice match. It was good for him to be in this match. What I took from this match was that him and Masakutsu Funaki, they could be a great tag team down the line because they have good chemistry and good synergy together.
I like Funaki just in general. I think he's kind of underrated by some people. Yeah. I like him. He's a good wrestler. I know he's a little bit on the older side, and people get a little wary of that, but I think he's a good performer in his role. I don't think he's a guy that should be doing, you know, 20, 30-minute epics, but he has a role on the card, I think. Like you said, him with a team with Nakajima, I think stylistically they fit together really well. I think they actually fit together even better than Nakajima and Kenno as a tag team, just stylistically, never mind talent or whatever, but just stylistically, I love how they fit together. I think you could have a good run with them.
It was a fun time for Nakajima to do the handspring and the eventual Muto bulldog stuff there. He was smirking at Muto, so that was fun for him to do. I just hope that he's not leaning into these Muto-isms as well here, because we have enough of that already with Kaito.
What if he adopts Kaito's old look with the black the black style Muto? What if he shaves his head bald again to become like Muto even more? He's like, I want your spirit to transform into me.
Well, if he's going to lean into that, he better leans full into it.
Don't do that. Don't lose that hair.
No.
Yeah, no. You need that. But I think he's got a lot to him. I don't know what his future is in the near future, like where he's at on the card. I don't know what they've got planned for him, because he's another guy where it feels like, hey, this feels like a guy that may be the odd man out for a little while, at least. So it's going to be interesting to see if they have anything cooking for him going into the big New Year show and the Muto Dome show.
We had three more title matches, actually, on this card. I didn't see the Junior Tag title match. Atsushi Kotoge and Seki Yoshioka defeated Stinger, Chris Ridgeway, and Yoshinari Ogawa. We also saw the other tag title changing hands with Kojima and Sugiura defeating Thatcher and Suzuki, of which I only saw the second half, so can't really say anything about that as well. What do you think about these matches?
Yeah, I really like the junior title match. I think that Kotoge and Yoshioka, it feels like this is the best version of the team they could have, because they had Kotoge working with Yohei for a while, and obviously everyone knows Momo Tag, but they've been around the block so many times, it's just not that fresh anymore. So this version, it gives Yoshioka a spot, which I think is really important. I've said this before, if it were me involved, I would really focus on building some new junior guys like that are title holders, and I think Yoshioka would be right at the top of that list. Whatever Hao's doing, hopefully he can come back one day, maybe come back under a mask.
What is he doing? Is he gone from the company, or did they announce anything?
No. They said he was gone, but they brought him up. Like, Kendo Kashin was like doing a mission to look for him at one point. It's not like he's been never brought up again after he lost that match or whatever. They did a match where it's like loser leaves Noah, and he lost, so he left.
Yeah,
Noah.
I know, but
yeah, but they brought him up before. I'm sure he'll be back. Okay. Eventually. But I don't know why, what the deal is, what's going on with him. But hopefully he's back one way or the other, because I think he's a great talent. He's another guy that I think would have been somebody I really would push for more. I think Alejandro would be a good pick, you know, somebody that they could look at for in the future. But Yoshioka
kind of doing Dragon Gate now, I think. He won the Royal Sambo on the September 23rd show, and he then asked to form a tag team with the Dragon Kid.
Great. Like that could be a really cool tag team. Hopefully we see Dragon Kid and Noah. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, Yoshioka getting the title was really good. I just thought the match was really good. I think it's, you know, Ridgeway is a great performer, and Ogawa is still good. Like, I don't like their group and how pushed they are and all that comes with it. But I just love seeing Ridgeway mix it up with these guys just as a talent. I think he's a really good guy to have. I thought they did a really great job in the match overall. And the heavyweight tag title match, this was cool. I think that they shouldn't have changed the titles, in my opinion.
I agree. I think this is premature. I would have given Thatcher and Suzuki a much longer run. But I think that they have just figured, okay, we have Kojima now and we got to do something with him.
Yeah.
So they had to sacrifice the title reign of Thatcher and Suzuki for that.
Yeah. I totally understand that. I think you're right on the money. But to me, it's like these guys have so much going for them. And that's like their entrance coming out with the music. They look like a natural pairing. They wrestle so good. Like, not just like they're great wrestlers, but they match. And that's something that's very important to me. They're like a perfect team, like in terms of their aesthetic and how they work. So I love them to death. I think they're absolutely fantastic performers, both. Hideki had a great run in the N1. I thought he was the MVP of the tournament, honestly, going in there. And I think Thatcher is a wonderful performer as well. So I wouldn't have changed the titles. I wonder what they're going to do with them now. Like both of those guys, Hideki and Thatcher, they're two guys that don't have a very like defined spot at the moment.
I mean, leading up to this title match, I'm going to go back and watch these singles matches. Thatcher beat both Sugiura and Kojima in singles matches before that. So I could see him going to the singles run.
Great. I think that's something. I do think that they
do him and Funaki.
Yeah, see, that would be a great match. I think he would be a great like national champion type of player. You know, if they wanted to do that, either one of them, if they like, and you could build to an eventual singles match between Hideki and Thatcher as well. So you've got legs to both of these guys. I hope that they keep them in the mix somewhat because I think there's a lot going for them. You know, Kojima and Sugiura. I mean, I like them as a team. I think that they're good. I love Sugiura. Kojima, I think this is a much better spot for him than main event player, like top guy. I think tag is a really good spot for him overall. So I get that they wanted to do something with him. It's like, hey, we've got him here. We don't want to just sit him and like let him waste on the undercard. We want to do something with him. I understand that. But I still would have kept the titles on the others. But, you know, hopefully they could do something good with it because I think they both have still good talent. Sugiura especially. Again, these guys, they're not where they were. And there, you know, obviously, and even Sugiura, as much as I love him, he has slowed down the last year or so. He hasn't been able to match what he's done last year. I still hope for in my heart that there's some kind of big, because last year he had that match with Fujita, which I thought was like match of the year level quality. I love that match with Fujita, where Fujita went out on the stretcher, and like he tried to do the stare down, and Sugiura was like, no, we are fighting. I loved all of that. But instead, you know, the tag team, hopefully it comes out good because I think that there's potential for this. I just think it's a little bit of a downgrade from the Thatcher and Suzuki team.
Yes, I agree. For Kojima and Sugiura, though, I think it's a good position. They are still very prominent guys on the roster. Them being tag champions could be, for smaller shows, they could definitely headline with these two.
Yeah, and to me, I thought this was actually their match against each other was better than the main event. In my opinion, I enjoyed this match a lot. I thought it was a really strong performance.
Yeah, what I saw, I thought was really, very good.
Yeah. See, so I thought this was like my match of the night, personally. I thought the two tag matches were like my favorite. But I also liked the main event. Like I said, it wasn't as great as maybe some of their past matches and the expectations we would have had again, similar to what we said about Lindemann and Ito. And again, I really think that Takeshita and Higuchi match probably colored our viewing patterns as viewers. Again, maybe it's just human nature. So I will take that with a grain of salt. I may revisit a couple of these matches one day when there's not five shows going on at once out there.
Yes.
So, you know, so. But yeah, I thought it was a really good back end of the show, at least with those, the last five matches.
Yeah, with Hayata and Yohei, they also had a match, and Hayata still junior champion. Yohei said that he will never challenge if Hayata still is champion. They did a match in 23 minutes. What I saw in the match, I sometimes zoned out, to be quite honest, because much like you said, maybe that was due to the great Higuchi and Takeshita match before. I kind of liked this Hayata and Yohei match much more than the matches they did before, because I thought that this match had more of a substantial level to it than their matches where they just threw stuff at one another. It was built much around the Gamenji that Yohei did, was built around his regular Gamenji, the top rope Gamenji. He did some other stuff, dropkick from the top rope, and Hayata caught him flush in the end with a surprising finish. So from a build-up stance, I thought this was one of their better matches.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this wasn't a special match.
No.
I don't think that, in this case, I don't think anything had anything to do with it. I think these two are not that great, especially Hayata, I think, as champion. I mean, I talked about earlier, gas left in the tank for Higuchi. Mm. This is a guy that's been running on E for like a year now. As champion. I mean, I don't...
He's on his fourth title run. This all blends together with Hayata because, like, he lost the title early this year to Eita, who only had it for 47 days. We're going back to the heavyweight title, too. And then Hayata just won it back. And he has
And when he lost it, his title reign was like a historically long title reign before that. And then they took it away for 47 days. Yeah, and then they gave it right back.
No fresh challengers. How long is he supposed to be champion?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I don't know if anybody sees him as this legendary junior, like in Noah, you know, they try to compare it like, oh, he beat Kenta and Marufuji and Kanemaru. And it's like, nobody considers him at that level. like nobody thinks of him like that. When is this going to end? It never ends, Strigger. It
never ends.
Like, you know, I've been waiting for it to end for all this time. And he had his moments. He had his stands. Like,
he had Sumo Hall, and...
But what interesting directions are there to go?
No, there are none. There are none.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's a strange, strange person. I don't understand it at all. Like I said, Stinger in general has had this death grip on this division for years now, and I think it's totally, totally hurt the division. I think the division was so much better before all of this started. You know, when it was built around guys like Harada and stuff like that. You know, I think that they really have dropped the ball in the junior division. I think, much like the main heavyweight title, I think the junior division has never meant less than it does now. And it's a real shame because I've always loved their division. Even when Noah was on the down points, I always contended that, hey, they stand out. Their juniors matter. But now it just feels like this goes on and on. It's like the never-ending story with Hayata. It's like, how can I care about this at all? So I think the whole division suffered through the Stinger dominance. And hopefully we see it. They got rid of the tag titles. Hopefully this sticks because they've done it before where they change the titles for a little bit. Much like with a singles title. They'll change it for a month or two. And suddenly here comes Stinger again getting the tag titles. And I don't need to see that anymore.
Yes. Yeah. That is as much as I can say about Noah, because I agree with what you said about Hayata. And for me, this brings us to the end of our show, Dylan. Is there anything else that you wanted to point out?
Yeah, you know, the only thing I will say is that the Stardom tournament's been going on, the five-star Grand Prix. We're at the end of the line, almost.
Almost.
Yeah, we've got one more show to go where everybody is going to wrestle everybody, pretty much. You know, we're going to have one more match with them. You know, then we're going to have the final on that show. It's the start of October. They're going to have it. So that's going to be really interesting to look at. You know, so overall, they've done a lot of good things when it comes to the tournament. I think they've booked it out really well in general. I like what they've done. And we're in the position where it was basically exactly what I thought would happen. Everybody's risen up to where there's a bunch of people still involved at the end. I don't have the rankings right in front of me right now. I'm trying to find them, unfortunately, but I'm struggling for some reason. But, you know, basically Julia and Tom Nakano are both now in contention for the lead. A block has, or Red Star's block has, like, a lot of people in there. It's like Micah, Shuri, Azumi. Yeah. They're all involved. Like,
so,
they're all
exactly. So, on 14 points in Red Stars are Utami Hayashishita, Azumi, Tam Nakano, Maika, Himeka, Shuri, and Risa Serra is at 13, while Koguma has 12.
Yeah. And, so a lot of people are still kind of up there. In Blue Star's block, it's not as jumbled.
It's Julia with 15, Hazuki, Starlight Kid, and Suzuki have 14, and then Mayu, Sayaka Mitani, and Mirai all have 13.
Okay, so yeah, there's a good amount of people there going in there. That's interesting.
Balanced it out well in both blocks.
Yeah, and I think that they did it very well too, like to get there. You know how they ended up getting there into that point. So I really like how they put everything there. You just had the Stardom and Showcase Volume 2 show, the one with the DJ at the end. They did a lot of crazy matches on there. All kinds of stuff happened on that show. The debut of Rina Yamashita was on that show. You had Hanan getting her first win of the tournament over Talsaya, or not Talsaya, but Saida, Strong Saya. Saida getting her first win of the tournament. She was the last person to get a win there. So, you know, they've done a lot of interesting things, you know, going in there with how they booked everything. I love that they were able to build this show, like this one big show, pretty much at the end, on the first tier, where you're going to have, you know, Shuri versus Risa Sarah, Utami versus Koguma, Maika versus Himeka, Tam Nakano versus Saki, Unagi Sayaka versus Momo Kogo. I definitely have jumped on the Unagi Sayaka train. I thought she's really improved in the tournament. The last couple of matches, she's really stepped up. I've been hard on her for a while now. I thought she was way over pushed last year, and she's really showing a lot of great improvement. So big shout out to Unagi for her tournament, and Azumi versus Saki Kashima as well, the Red Star. So when you look at those blocks and the matchups and how they pair off, I think that you can book it to where Nakano beats Saki, and you get Koguma upsetting Utami, and you can have people, you know, you have upsets up and down to get people in there pretty much. Like Kashima obviously beating Azumi, you know, in there. Risa Sarah can beat Shuri, and then Nakano would advance. So that's what I think is going to happen. You're going to see a lot of upsets, and then Nakano will win, and she'll advance. I could see, I mean, Azumi was really strong early on. She's been in the block the whole time, but she's facing Kashima, so I think that's pretty much assured she's going to lose, you know, with the flash pin. Maika would be an interesting choice as well, because they've really built her up very well in the tournament, in my opinion. So you could go there. In Blue Stars, you have Julia versus Suzu, Iwatani versus Starlight. Both of those are very, like, personal matches. They're going to try and draw some grudges out of them. Talsaya versus Ami Sorei. Hazuki versus Momo, another kind of personal match they're going to have there. Natsupoi and Shirakawa. Shirakawa is another one I think has really stepped up big the last few matches of hers. Her match versus Mirai I thought was really strong. Unexpectedly technical. Love her gimmick right now of trying to be more technical in her matches. And Mirai and Saida, I can see Ida getting an upset win just to round out her tournament there. But either way, I still think everything's played out pretty much as I expected. I think Julia will face Tam Nakano. I just wanted to mention that because the show is coming up at just a week before the show. Great tournament. I've reviewed every single match, as always. Yes, on the Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. You know, it's been a really, really great tournament, in my opinion. So keep your eyes peeled for that and check out the final show at the start of the month, too. I think it's going to be really good stuff.
Yes, that's next weekend, actually. I kind of didn't really forget about it, but there is something that, of course, is much more important to me personally, because next week there is another WXW tournament with the World Tag Team Festival coming up. And actually, I think one of my favorite matches could actually take place on the first night, which is not part of the festival itself, but it is the Inner Circle in the WXW Academy. They have announced Fuminori Abe versus Masha Slamovich for that show, and I am really looking forward to that match.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. WXW, that's your home promotion. Yes. You got to be fired up right now.
I'm really fired up. I fired up for all the guys coming in from America. There's going to be a wild card show where, for example, Cheeseburger, world famous CB, is going to be there, bring some of his trainees. So that's going to be a fun, fun show. Fun, fun weekend. I'm looking forward to that.
Great. I hope you have a really fun time, man.
Yeah, man. And thanks for being here. Thanks for doing the show. And also want to thank all the listeners for riding with us until the end here. This has been the Eastern Lariat. Goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.